The following is a special local sports presentation on 92.1 WVTK. This is Middlebury Union High School football. All season long, catch every game, home and away, as the Tigers defend their state championship. Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustis Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustis family of Britporch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Coolin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
And now, with the call of today's game, here's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Well, Marshall, they say you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. But I think tonight that's probably what the Middlebury Tigers want to do, both to themselves and the fans here at Doc Collins Field. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second game of the year for the Middlebury Tigers. It's a warm night, maybe a little warmer than everybody was expecting, but certainly last week it all worked out for us. Thanks for joining us at 92.1 WVTK as you're going to listen to the Middlebury Tigers take on the Bob Whites of St. Albans. Last week the Tigers kicked off the season with a win, which is certainly what they wanted, extended the winning streak to 23 games and beat Mount Anthony by a score of 21-13. But Marshall, I think a lot of the fans here tonight are wondering what team they're going to see tonight and interested to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, Bjarke, it was a tale of two halves last week. First half, a lot of mental errors for Middlebury. They weren't really getting the read keys a lot. They were missing a lot of blocks. And then on the defensive side of the ball, they actually played pretty well. And so they came out in the second half, and their offense was much better. The offensive line was sound. The back started to hit the holes and showed the patience that they need. And so as a coaching staff or as a fan base, you have to be confident that a second half, you know, that's something you could take to the break, say, hey, crunch time came along, we buckled down, we played our type of football. But still, there is that thought in the back of my mind, that first half, it did happen. But I think that building on that second half, they'll be able to come out, they'll play that disciplined football that these fans are used to seeing for the past two seasons. I think that this game should be a lot quicker start for Middlebury, and if not, I think they're going to run into trouble.
Well, and it's an interesting thing, too, because you look at matchups, and traditionally Mount Anthony has not been the strongest team the Tigers face, and that's me being a little kind. I mean, 3-6 was the best record they've had in a while. That was last year, as we hear the music start as the Tigers come out. But tonight, as the Tigers get set to take on the Bob Whites, I think we'll be wondering, St. Albans, usually traditionally a bigger team, a stronger team, a pound you in the face sort of team, what are the Tigers going to have? We're going to step aside for a moment on the One Credit Union Radio Network, and we'll be right back with more pregame. It's Bjarke Sears and Marshall Hastings here with Middlebury Tigers football. on the One Credit Union.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance.
Exhilarating experiences every week in the month of September.
Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on Victory and a five-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports, 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh. DellaMotorsports.net.
Hi, Bob. You all set for archery season?
I think so.
That means you're probably not. Better bring in that bow for a tune-up.
Where should I go?
I go to Vermont Field Sports on Route 7 in Middlebury. I was in there, and you wouldn't believe everything they have for archery season.
What do they have?
Everything for that big catch. A full selection of arrows, accessories, everything we need. Now you have to check it out.
All right, let's take it right down. Hey, Bob, did you smell that?
Yeah, I thought you smelled a little funny.
I thought it was your shoes.
Better pick up some cover scent. The deer would smell you a mile away.
Well, then we better pick some up.
It's never too late to check out the huge selection of guns and rifles, new and used, while we're there. Vermont Field Sports, for everything you'll need to bring home that trophy deer. Vermont Field Sports, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
This is Middlebury Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And the sun is baking down here at Doc Collins Field. The Tigers have come out on the field to the tune of AC/DC's Back in Black, and that's appropriate, Marshall. They're wearing all black uniforms, black helmets, black pants, black jerseys. From an announcer standpoint, that's a pretty great thing. It's easy to pick up the numbers, but you've been around for a while. You had a little bit of a feeling about some of these colors.
I mean, I was right on the edge before, I think it was a year after I left, they got the black helmets. So I was still in the old school white helmet look. I got an opportunity to wear the black jerseys, and I love the all black. The one thing I liked was that white helmet really accents well, and that's a very fashionista way to put it. I thought that white helmet accented the black jerseys so well, it kind of popped a little bit more. But in a game like this, where it's kind of still hot, a lot hotter than you might expect for early September, a black jersey might not necessarily be the best thing. You're just going to start heating up a little bit quicker. I think once the sun goes down, obviously you're going to be fine. But wouldn't be surprised maybe first quarter we see a little bit of sluggishness just out of that from some of these guys. It's still early in the season. You're not into your 100% mid-season shape. And so that heat, you know, you're getting hot already with your pads on running around. A black jersey is not going to help that, but at the same time, it's a good look. These kids aren't going to really be bothered by too much.
Well, and to keep that going and moving a little towards the, you know, the physical element of things, I was kind of pleasantly, I guess, surprised the last week we didn't have a lot of cramping. I mean, it was warm outside, and it really didn't seem to be too much of a factor for either team. So let's hope tonight for both of them that that's the case. So, Marshall, Tigers, we talked about. We're going to talk about a little bit more, obviously. But you've done some homework on the BFA Bob Whites, and I'd love to hear a little bit about what you found.
Yeah, BFA went up and they got Rice, the team that said they couldn't be in D1. They weren't big enough. They didn't have enough kids. And they go in and they beat a perennial power on the road by 1 point. And I think that's one thing that says a lot about Rice. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about BFA. And BFA, I think they have a good running attack. They got this three-headed monster in the backfield with Noah Rolo, Tanner Kiofi, Nate Parady, and then Mark Connor under center. And this is an offense that is extremely effective. They run that kind of open A wing T option look that Middlebury has, and they ran it effectively. The thing that BFA was unable to do was stop Rice. And Rice runs not that under center triple option look like you're going to see from Middlebury, but they do run that pistol triple option look. So my concern is, if I'm BFA right now, you got some leads in that game. You have a blocked punt that goes for 6 points on the first possession. You're up 7-0. The very next play, you let them go 90 yards to the house on a kickoff return. So defensively and tackling-wise, BFA comes out a little undisciplined, doesn't really play. They get the lead, they don't play with it. They don't play with a little confidence saying, this is our lead, this is our game. They let that slip away one too many times. They end up losing by 1 point. They had a lead late. They give up a long drive, a 70-yard drive in 2 minutes to Rice. They're going to have to come out and play better on the defensive side of the ball, because if Middlebury's offense can do what they did in the second half throughout this game, BFA's in trouble. When you're down 0-1 in Vermont football, you know you only got 8 games to play. you can't be 0-2 and expect that you're going to be in a good position, because for the rest of the season, you probably don't have any leeway. And if it is, it's maybe one or two losses in any direction.
There's not many slots in the playoffs. Exactly. You're looking at four teams going in there. And as far as Middlebury, this might be a really advantageous matchup, considering where Middlebury certainly had some trouble last week was in the air when you look at the net total. Noah Normile, who can spin the ball? He was 15 for 34, thanks to Andy Kirkcaldy for these, 252 net yards and two touchdowns. David Burgess, the fast wide receiver for Mount Anthony, 9 catches, 130 yards. So the Tigers got hurt in the air. Rushing-wise, they did a really nice job. I mean, a couple little spots, but overall, a really nice job against the team last week. So maybe for the Tigers, a chance to come out and really get to play their game.
Yep.
And not get put in an uncomfortable situation.
And one thing about that is when you go up against a spread offense team, one thing about the state of Vermont, that it's good athletes and good football here. But a lot of teams are one-dimensional, and if they can pass well, they can pass well. If they can throw well, they can throw well. But they don't often do both well. I mean, you look at Middlebury. This isn't a shot, but you go 5 of 18 through the air, but on the ground, you're extremely effective. So I think that's one thing to kind of look at. But one thing also is that when you now, you're Middlebury, you're going to face a similar offense that you're used to working against every single day. I remember when I played, we'd go up against a Colchester who always ran that triple option. We knew how to stop him because it was just saying, hey, we just got to go first team O versus first team D, and we're going to see exactly where we're supposed to. On a practice field, you don't have to bring in somebody. Your scout team guys, with you only have 40, 50 guys in your program, your scout team isn't going to be as able to replicate a spread offense, but they are going to be able to replicate an option offense like they're going to see tonight. So they're going to have that advantage for them.
Sure, absolutely. And so the Tigers going out there and really maybe getting to get settled down a little bit. Although that, in some ways, they don't necessarily have to test themselves a tremendous amount against some of the things they do in more have more trouble with. So one thing about the Tigers, we saw that tremendous amount of passing. I mean, you and I were not even joking, saying that we've seen, half seasons where they didn't pass that many times. I was leaving the Doc Collins Field last week, and that was the first thing I heard somebody say to somebody else was, when was the last time you saw them throw that many times? In your opinion, and I know this is a different team, but do we see that continue tonight? Think that was a one-off? Any gut sense? That's something we'll be looking forward to.
No, I think they're going to keep going to it. I mean, this coaching staff in Middlebury is not going to say, okay, we didn't succeed on this for 1 week, let's scrap it. They're going to go back to it. They're going to go back to the drawing board, and I think that the plays were there. The balls were just missed. Either the wrong guy was thrown to or the guy was open and just didn't hit him in stride, stuff like that. So I don't think that the passing game was ineffective in that you couldn't get anything going. It was that the wrong reads were being made and that you just got to make the right play, find the guy, be patient. When you're a running team and you're kind of used to everything being quick, 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 first read, second read, so on, when you go through the air, you kind of tend to kind of accelerate that process. So I expect them to go right back to it because it could have been effective. You look at 5 of 18, very easily could have been 10 of 18, 11, and so on and so forth. So I think they'll go back to it, and I think they're going to have success this week with it.
All right, so lots of wisdom here as we get started and as we're rolling towards game time here. Still waiting for the Bobwhites to come out and take their spot on the field. We're going to step aside for a moment. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve and you will make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong, and then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Does your car need a repair? Do you need a tow or maybe just general maintenance? I'm Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here at Mike's, we do it all. We tow cars, we fix cars, we sell cars. We have storage and U-Haul, we have master ASC certified techs, and we guarantee all of our work. So if your car or truck vibrates, rattles, whines, knocks, or just plain leaks, give us a call or hit us online at mikesautomid.com. You can even like us on Facebook. And remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergennes and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
This is where the Middlebury Tigers play. 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back for pregame here at Doc Collins Field as we're ticking down towards game time here, week two of the regular season, waiting for the Middlebury Tigers to take on the Bob Whites of BFA, which I think Marshall may be staying inside to stay out of the heat or something like that. Maybe a little gamesmanship, maybe a little last minute talking. So I see. Here they come. They're out right now, as you say. Nice pointing there. And so a couple last minute, play the coach here a little bit. Now, on one hand, you want to tell the guys, hey, you know, nice job, probably kind of keep the tension low, maybe, you know, get past the jitters. But maybe a couple more things you think they'll be focusing on going into this week that we can help the people at home out, kind of see what is and isn't working.
If I'm Middlebury, it's slow down. You know, first quarter and first half of last week was a lot of mistakes made where guys were just rushing through their progressions, where they kind of were just a little overly, you know, nervous for the game to be at hand. And that's to be expected in game one. But here I'm going to come out and say, slow down, guys. We won. All right? You know, I don't care that it was 21-13 and that's a team that we've traditionally beaten. You know, that's not my concern. We're 1-0. End of the day, 1-0 is 1-0, whether you win 62-0 or 7-0. So I'm going to say, we're going there. Let's play our game. Let's do it for four quarters. Let's be disciplined. Our defense is midseason form right now from last week. Let's keep that going. An offense side ball, let's be patient. Things are going to happen. They're not going to stop us. We're going to go win this football game. We're going to be 2-0. They're going to be 0-2.
And you really want to give Oakley Gordon a chance to get the ball in his hand, calm down. He had some success as time went on. He also had some jitters, you think, and you want to put him in a position where he gets to just continue to probably do the things that you want him to do, right?
Exactly. I think that one thing that can kind of make it possible for Oakley to be more effective is get the ball to Cortland Fisher inside. Because last week, Cortland Fisher was running through kids. He wasn't getting knocked backwards. That's a big thing when you think about someone getting tackled. If you get tackled and you can fall forward, you know, these kids aren't 7 foot, you know, 7 feet tall, but, you know, being 5 foot 10, you're still going to get an extra 2 yards falling down. So, you know, he's a guy that falls forward when he's tackled. He runs through tackles. I want to get Corlin the ball inside a little bit more. I want to see him get some early carries, whether it's designed or if it's an option to give to him inside, because he has the capability, the strength, and the running ability to get 5-6 yards every time he touches the ball. The more he does that, the more they're going to collapse on him. That's going to open up the edge for Oakley Gordon, Ali Abdul-Sader, Trey Kaufman, the rest of this backfield for the Tigers. So I want to see Corlin up inside. He's got the capability to be the workhorse of this option offense right now.
And a point you make about Cortland, we commented on that last week. He had 9 carries at one point, kind of as the game was very close. He had only carried for just a couple times. Yep. As things went along, he ended up with an average of almost 7 yards a carry. I mean, you start stringing that together, and that's what generally we expect the fullbacks out of Middlebury, and he's continuing that tradition. He certainly was able to do it last year. Now, do you feeling was that some result of that was as a result of that option choice, that Oakley was making that choice, and maybe he thought he should stick with it a little earlier and just go to the fullback?
I think that, you know, he was making the right reads, but just not every single time. I think early in the game, this is you know, typical of a quarterback, not just Oakley, but, you know, any quarterback that plays in a triple option offense. You want the ball. You're touching the ball to begin with. You want the ball. You want to be the playmaker to make the play. And you like seeing that out of a quarterback. But he just had to take a little time to realize sometimes those reads that he was making, they weren't necessarily right. So his, not desire to be the superstar, but him wanting to be the guy that this team can turn to, almost got not in the way, but a little bit of, you know, just blocked the true read. And once he started having that patience, and you're talking about maybe 2-3 carries at halftime, then that second half, you know, maybe 2-3 carries more, but more effective carries because Oakley was making the right read and giving it up inside. So I just think it was Oakley just being a little nervous early on. And again, to be expected in game one, your first start, you know, following the back-to-back state championship.
So maybe if you just call dives up the middle, fullback dives, just call him, take away the option chance and just say, just go hit him a few times.
I'd love to see some dives and traps. Some traps right up the gut, you know, either side of the center, you know, get a little counter option look in there. guard pulls with him and cleans out space because, like we said, Corlin Fisher is a fantastic runner. You get in the ball, he's going to have success.
All right, Marshall, let's get some starters here. Why don't we hear the Middlebury defense for this week?
So for the Tigers right now, up front, Jerry Nemo and Brady LaRock on the defensive end positions. Inside, Wyatt LaBerge, Nick Beauchamp, and Bruce Wright. Linebackers are Corlin Fisher and Chris Greer. In the backfield, Ali Abdul-Slater, Andrew Gleason, Oakley Gordon, and Jack Honchel patrol the secondary. And then for the Bob White's offense, Tanner Keofi in the backfield at fullback, Mark Connor under center for the Bob White's at quarterback, Jerry Clark will be the back along with Noah Rolo on the offensive line. Nia Owen Kofi plays tight end, Isaac Manahan, Austin LeClair, Eddie Brannon, and Austin Trahan on the offensive line. And then Alec Letourneau will be on the outside for the wide receiver for the Bob White's.
All right, the captains are coming off the field here. And getting ready here is Wade Smith calls out. He's announcing the BFA is being announced as a group, and the Tigers are being announced individually along the way. As they announce this, let's get the Tigers offense, Marshall.
Tiger offense under center, of course, Oakley Gordon, Ali Abdul-Slater, and Trey Kaufman as the backs, and Corlin Fisher at fullback. Brady LaRocca, Sawyer Ryan on the outside. Left to right on the offensive line, Wyatt LaBerge, Nick Beauchamp, Pat Messenger, Bruce Wright, and Chris Rear for the Tigers up front. And then for the Bob White's defense, Alec Letourneau, Jared Clark, Jared Ryan, Tanner Keofi in the secondary, Eddie Brannon, Caleb Phelps, and Xavier Pigeon at linebacker. And on the defensive line, Isaac Manahan, Brody Pigeon, Zach Hare, and Nick Hale.
All right, and it should be said that the Tigers are coached by Dennis Smith, John Newcedar, Jed Malcolm, and Justin Gay, a new coach this year, also a new teacher at the high school. And Bellows Falls is coached by a million people, including Jeff head coach Jeff Murray. So one last question here before we step aside for a moment. Any names last week that you think you'd be interested in seeing pop out? Anybody you think could just maybe touch it once or twice that you'd be interested in seeing getting the ball a little bit tonight?
I think in the backfield it's going to be Jack Honchel. Just Cruz got announced. He didn't get a lot of touches in the backfield. Played well on the defensive side of the ball. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more looks on the offensive side of the ball. But also up front, Chris Greer missed a lot of the second half, cramping up a little bit of sickness. I'd expect to see him on this field. When you miss not only a captain on the offensive line, but one of these guys that has been here for a while on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball, a lot more confidence. And so I expect this offensive line to see Chris Greer back out there, a lot more confidence, a lot more effectiveness in this game.
And maybe that also something to add some stability and some calmness to the team going the second. And we're going to step aside. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24-7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
There are many banks to choose from. There's just one which truly puts personal service first and foremost. That's One Credit Union in Vergennes. The people at One Credit Union specialize in making your banking an easy and positive experience. Add in their very competitive lending rates, low-fee banking services, and the many electronic banking options with 24/7 access to your accounts, you'll see why One Credit Union is gaining new customers every day. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. You'll like doing business with them. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
Now back to Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Streaming, and the rockets are.
that's Middlebury Junior Mary Lynch with the national anthem of our country as we get ready for football to begin. The Tigers are taking the field. The sun is just above the trees out of the western skyline there, right over the Otter Creek. The lights are coming on. Not needed yet, but they'll be needed soon. Beautiful night for football. We've gotten pretty lucky so far, Marshall.
Hey, they really have. I remember my senior year, we barely, I think we might have had two sunny games the entire time, and you know, a lot of wet games in my career, but you know, field's in great condition. It's going to be a nice fast track for them, and that's something that they're going to appreciate, especially as backs, that capability to just kind of cut when you want to, and that quick response on the ground. They're lucky; they'll keep playing on it, and you know, field looks great.
It's kind of funny because after this, the next 2 weeks are going to be away games.
Yep.
So this field, as long as the JV and freshmen don't tear it up too much, should be in good shape here against the Rebels of South Burlington there in the fifth week of the season. All right, so they're getting set, ready to go. Roll Owen Clark deep for the Bob Whites, as you just heard said. Jared Clark, number 19. And number 31, Noah Rollo. Noah Rollo, big time running back for these Bob Whites. And the Bob Whites will be going from our left to our right, as we call it, Marshall. And the Tigers will be going from right to left. That'd be north to south when they get going. So Oakley Gordon getting ready to tee it up here on the 40-yard line. Get this second game of the year off and started. And here we go. Officials leaving the field. Oakley's putting it down. And for the Tigers, I'd say consistency is going to be the name of the game here to start. I think that's what the fans are starting to fill in a little bit of space here at Doc College Field, but I'm sure in a few minutes it'll be all filled up. And Gordon approaches the ball. It goes up. He kicks it over to Jared Clark. Gets it about the 12, and he runs out. He's covered pretty quickly, and he's pushing himself forward to about the 30. So right in the middle of the field at the 30 is where the Bob Whites are going to start their offensive night.
That's a fantastic coverage there by the kick team from Middlebury. Basically, everyone got by their guys, got by their blockers, and basically had a wall of black waiting for him at the 30-yard line. Clark wasn't getting past that mark, and now this chance for this defense to see what they can do against an offense they're used to seeing in practice, and kind of this opportunity to make another impression and kind of create this defensive personality for themselves.
And as you say, very similar to the Tigers as they come up. They've got Mark Connor under center. Connor's calling it out. He turns, now he's going back, looking to throw. He's looking long, he's got a man open, but it gets up in the air, falls down. Gordon was getting in the way there of Alec Letourneau. He threw it about 20 yards or so, but there was nothing there for him right then.
And that's a great play there by Andrew Gleason and Oakley Gordon in the secondary. No one deeper. Alec Letourneau runs a seam route down the outside, and Gleason does a fantastic job coming over from backside support as a safety position. And almost had a chance for the interception at Oakley Gordon. Maybe not just batted that thing straight down, but that's great defensive work. And this is a secondary that kind of got beat a little bit over the top through the air. So great way to start this game right now for the defense.
Connor comes up under center. He's got three running backs and one receiver wide to the left. It's a running back in motion. He flips out to him well behind. He's over to the right. Left side, he's taking some spots, finds a little bit of an opening, and gains about 5 yards. And that ball carry was number 19, Jared Clark.
That's a good play there by the Bob Whites, really able to get the edge, seal that play side linebacker in so that you can, and you do allow Jared Clark to get to the edge, isn't able to break it long as a long run. Secondary is able to come up there, but that's a good play by Jared Clark and a good job by the offensive line right now for BFA.
Third and five for the Bob Whites. They're coming to line, two wide receivers this time and two running backs. Connor's under center, and he hands it up the middle to the fullback, makes it for no gain.
And that's Rollo there on the carry. Fantastic job from the linebacking core there. Corlin Fisher and Chris Greer meeting Rollo. This is the guy. This is the workhorse back right now for BFA. They met him, and they did not allow him to kind of get open. He's a guy with that open field. He had a 64-yard touchdown run last week against Rice. They did a great job stopping him at the line of scrimmage, not allowing him to get any space and make a move and go with it.
And Mark Connor back as the punter. He puts it up, and he gets it over, and it's Gordon waiting for it at about the 35. He brings it in. He's got some space on the left side. He's tried a little bit of room, driven out of bounds at about the 46-yard line. That's some good field position to start your first offensive possession.
Tiger Football brought to you by Mike's Auto and Towing for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike's Auto online at mikesautomid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com.
And it's the Tigers take over for the first time. 10:31 left to go in the first quarter. Score 0-0, Tigers and Bob Whites. And Gordon comes up under center. Three running backs, no receivers. And he's calling out calls. He's got Ali in motion. And he gives it to Trey Coffin. Try the left side. Gets a nice hole. Busted up by the offensive line. Brings it out to the other 40. That's a really nice way to start. That's a 14-yard gain.
Now, here's two things that worked great on that play. First one was Chris Greer. Fantastic job as the pulling tackle. He knows that inside, Trey Coffin is going to get past the linebacker. Says, I'm leaving him. He goes downfield and beats the secondary man, beats the safety over the spot. And then Trey Coffin, great job following the hole and using that speed burst once he hit the hole to get that big gain.
Gordon handing it off to Fisher like you wanted, getting about 3 yards straight up the middle, stuffed by a gang of Bob Whites, but getting a little bit of room there.
That's a good play. I mean, Corlin Fisher, like we said, he's going to fall forward, and you'll take a 3-yard gain every single time. You're going to wear down this big defensive front for BFA.
Tigers looking over the sideline, as they do with that no-huddle offense. And it's Gordon coming under center. He has a big line, three wide receivers. He's calling it out here, 2nd and 7. And it's Kaufman in motion. And it's a handoff to Fisher up the middle again. Finds a hole on the left side, a little bit of seam. Gets down to about the 29.
Great read from Gordon. Really waited for that mesh with Corlin Fisher to be created. And it was a great read. Fisher up the gut. No problem. He's going to be able to get that 7, 8, 9 yard run just about every time he gets that touch. Then another time. Great job on the offensive line to create that hole.
And if you're the Tigers, you have to feel good about this way it started. This is the Tiger football you expect.
Absolutely.
9:24 left to go in the first quarter. Gordon comes under center, 1st and 10 from the 30 of the Bob Whites. And he looks to hand it off, gets it to Kaufman, finding that same hole on the left side. He's got plenty of room to ramble. Gets down to about the 14 before being brought down by Jared Clark.
That's Bruce Wright and Chris Greer again creating on the counter. Bruce Wright's doing a great job. Comes across, he's going to kick out that play side defensive end. He's going to be left there for him. That's going to open up the hole. And then Chris Greer, great speed from the tackle position, gets down to the next level, again takes out the cornerback, and Trey Coffman really showing a lot of speed burst right now in this first half.
And it's Oakley with the ball, hands it off to Fisher again. They're grounded and pounding. He gains about 6 there on that carry.
Tigers looking to cash in. You can cash in National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, Enverjens, and National Bank of Middlebury.
And they're looking over the side here. Tigers working their way along. 2nd and 5. Ball on about the 7 or 8 yard line. Looks like about the 8. So they're walking their way down the field here with 8:34 left to go in this first quarter. Gordon comes under center. 3 running backs. He's got Abdul Sader in motion. Hands off to Fisher again. Gets maybe a couple, and then stuffed by the defensive line. They're claiming it's out. They're running down the field with it. But the officials are saying, no, sir. They must say they're calling it dead. This is not making the coaches of St. Albans happy.
Now, this is a good call. When you're stuffed at the line of scrimmage and there's no more forward progress, technically the play should be done. When the offensive player is no longer working his way downfield, the play's done. Unless he's, you know, actively running backwards away from the line of scrimmage. And that's what happened. Corlin Fisher got met about a yard downfield. Started getting pushed back. That's a great call by the referees to kill the play and not allow that, you know, great, you know, swarming defense from BFA, but the right call. Corlin Fisher's forward progress has certainly been stopped.
You want to keep people from coming in and headhunting at the end of the play. Tigers coming up 3rd and 5 from about the 7. No gain on that run apparently given. And Gordon calling it out. Hand it to Fisher again, who's moving his way up the middle. Fisher only picks up a couple yards here. Got about to the 5.
This is a great job right now from the BFA defensive ends. They're very patient. They're kind of making Oakley Gordon wait a little bit longer to make that read. And that's kind of putting them in a position where if it's a give up inside, they have the capability to kind of jump on that one and play some outside support. If Corlin Fisher, he gets the ball here, I'm expecting on 4th and 1. Hard up the middle. Hit this hole hard.
As you say, 4th and 1. Gordon coming under. He turns, doesn't give it to Fisher. Instead, he gives it to Coffin. Run it over to that left side. One man to beat. Did he get it? He got it. That's a touchdown for Trey Coffin.
That counter worked all drive right now for Middlebury. Consistency up the middle kind of creates that counter. The defensive line expected, same thing I did, up the gut for Corlin Fisher, and they follow that that kind of dive keys inside, and then coming right back, Trey Coffin. The one thing I would have liked them to cut it up inside about at the 3 yard line would have made that touchdown a lot easier for him, but great way to finish that run, finish it strongly, and punch that in for 6.
Everyone here up in these stands was wondering whether that had worked out right at the end, the way you mentioned, but either way, they would have been in a pretty good spot. And it's Gordon getting ready for the snap and put up the extra point. And he's getting ready. Here it comes. It's down. And it is It is good. So the Tigers ahead, a score of 7-0. You're listening to Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, this is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors, inviting you in for our Labor Day sales event. Now through September 10th, we have 0% financing for 72 months on Chrysler 200S front-wheel drive, Dodge Charger SXT, Jeep Cherokee, and Ram 1500 light-duty. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Labor Day sales event. 0% for well-qualified customers. Come in to Foster Motors on Route 7 South in Middlebury for details. But you better hurry up. Offers end September 10th.
The MUHS Tigers play here. WVTK, Port Henry, Virgins, Middlebury, 92.1. WVTK. High school football is on. 92.1. WVTK.
And on the strength of an eight-play drive, 8-play drive, led by Trey Kaufman and Cortland Fisher, the Tigers are on the board, 7-0 with 6:58 left to go in this first quarter. Sun's going down as Oakley Gordon gets ready to kick it off for the second time here, and he has Noah Rollo and Jared Clark back waiting for it at about the 10. It's Gordon. He's sending it over towards Clark. Clark gets it about the 13. He's running straight up the middle, and he's got a little bit of a gap, but he's brought down at about the 34. Tigers able to collapse on him.
Tiger football brought to you by LeBurge Insurance for all your insurance needs. Washington Street in Middlebury. LeBurge Insurance.
So for the Bob Whites, they had three times to try to move the ball last time. One incomplete, one rush for 5 yards, and one for no yards. So they're certainly going to be looking to get a little more going on this possession. Tigers leading by a score of 7-0 here about midway through the first quarter. And here Mark Connor at this point is now back in the shotgun with one running back and three wide receivers. Well, more of a tight end to two wide receivers. And he gets it in that shotgun, and he hands it off to the running back. Gets drilled, absolutely taken down in the backfield. Loss of 7 yards from the line of scrimmage.
That's a great play from Nick Beauchamp. Here's what the Tiger coaching staff is going to preach. If the man in front of you on the defensive line pulls, like they did there, a little counter option, or counter offense look for the Bob Whites, get in his back pocket, and he's going to lead you right to the ball. And that's exactly what Nick Beauchamp did. He hops in the back pocket of that play side guard. He runs right to him. Sure enough, ball carrier's right there for him. And that's just playing your role. You're not trying to do too much on the defensive line. And that's where Nick Beauchamp was. Fantastic play.
Second and 15 here for the Bob Whites. They have an interesting setup with two running backs here. And it's drop back by the quarterback, but the play is called dead. Timeout taken by BFA here. And we're going to stay here. Here's another line.
Tiger football brought to you by Poulin Auto. Changing the way you feel about buying a car. South Burlington, Barry, Poulin Auto.
So we see Bob White's already going with a little different look here on offense, a different setup in the backfield than they had before.
They're certainly trying to air the ball out a little bit more, and that's something that the Tigers had, like we talked about in the pregame show, had a lot of inability to defend against was through the air. And so the Bob was trying to kind of approach that and try to take advantage of that. Now, one thing I'm kind of concerned is they're going away from the thing that has worked for them through the first week of the season. I know that 1 week is a tough sample size to pull from, but your offense ran the ball so well in week one. There has to come a point where, as a team, you say, we're not going to try to take advantage of their inabilities. We're going to take advantage of our abilities. And I think that's one thing I'd like to see BFA get it on the ground. You have a little, you have a little fake success on the last play there, loss of 5. Go back to the ground, start doing your kind of football.
And maybe they have, because they have one wide receiver, they have one running back moving in the backfield, and they throw it to him, and he tries to find a little bit of a hole on the left, and doesn't really find much there for Xavier Pigeon.
That's a tough play. You try to go for the quick play side toss, Tiger defense is quick at the linebacker position with Corlin Fisher and Chris Beard getting across. All right, now Sawyer Ryan in there with Corlin Fisher. They get across the play very well and make that. And that's one thing BFA is trying to take advantage of speed. Didn't have it that time.
And BFA coming up to the line. Important down here. Third and 15. Not getting anywhere on those last two plays. And they've got a gaggle wide receivers, two to the right, one to the left. And it's a rollout here for the quarterback. He sees a man on the near sideline, but not nearly enough. He didn't even get it back to the original line of scrimmage when he threw it to Jared Clark. Jared Clark was driven out of bounds.
It's a good read from Mark Connor. I thought he might have had Dawson Gratton downfield, close to the first down line. That's a good play. You don't throw the interception. You kind of live for another day. It's going to be fourth down. You're giving the ball up anyway. I try not to give him the great field position here.
Yeah, might as well not make last week for both teams. We saw a game of errors in some cases. So I think probably both teams saying, all right, we're getting our season going. Let's keep it together. Mark Connor back. He's getting ready to punt here and punt off to the Tigers. It's a high snap, but he collects it, is able to pick it. He kicks it over towards Hodgson. The ball kind of dies at about the 40, still bouncing. Looks like it's going to stop at about the 35. And the Tigers come out to start their second offensive possession.
Be a good offensive look. I expect more of that counter action for the Tigers, something that was very successful in that first drive. And I think this drive is going to kind of tell. If they are unsuccessful with the counter, it's going to kind of show that BFA is making adjustments. But if this counter keeps hitting, expect it to kind of hit for the rest of the first half, maybe even into the second.
You felt the counter was something that got going better and better as the week went on.
Absolutely.
Last week.
Yeah. Okay,
Tigers have a couple receivers, three running backs in the backfield. It guns back to Ali Abdul-Sader. Tries the right side. He gets a little bit of stepping room right along that far sideline. Looks like he gains about 7 or 8 yards before being driven out.
That's using good speed there from Ali Abdul-Sader in the backfield, but also that's a great job on play side there from Brady LaRock and Sawyer Ryan and Chris Beard to create that edge for the Tigers.
Ali had a great week last week. Here's the JP Carrera Player of the Game here on 92.1 WVTK. He carried the ball 15 times for 123 yards, 8.2 average, and a touchdown. And so Gordon comes back. He's looking to throw downfield. He's looking up. He's got a man in his face who knocks it backwards. Almost intercepted right in the middle of the field by a linebacker back in coverage.
That's a tough job. We're going to try to do it a little bit too much there. Didn't really have his foot set to make that throw. Very dangerous play from Oakley Gordon.
It almost looked like they let the man by. He was in his face so quickly there. Tigers looking at 3rd and 5 with 4:58 left to go in the first quarter. Tigers are leading the BFA Bob Whites by a score of 7-0. Gordon coming up to the line. He's got 3 running backs, no wide receivers, calling it out. Nobody in motion at the moment. There goes Ali in motion. And it goes to Kaufman again, trying that left side. Tripped up a little earlier than normal, as it's gone so far tonight. Looks like he picked up about two yards or so on that one.
That's a good job there from the Bob White defense to get up inside. The previous drive, they had been unable to meet the pulling guard and tackle at the line of scrimmage. That time, led by Eddie Brandon, they were able to get up to the line of scrimmage and hit those two, the pulling, Bruce Wright and Chris Greer, and prohibit that option from working there, for the counter from working.
And it's 4th and 3 for the Tigers, so it'll be Gordon punting it away to the Bob Whites. Nice snap there. And it's a decent workable punt for sure. It's going down. Bounces at about the 26. Little bit of a Tigers roll. It's going to end up at the 18 of the Bob Whites.
Tiger football brought to you by Woodware Fine Furniture on Route 7 South in Middlebury. That's a kind of a play there. If I'm Noel Rolla, I'm trying to come up a little bit more aggressive. That ball, he didn't really attack that one off the foot of Oakley Gordon. Kind of very tentative. You kind of might want to see him hit that ball with a little bit more aggressiveness. Kind of saying, I really want this ball right now. I want to make something happen with my team down 7-0. We'll see maybe now if he can get the ball going, though, from the backfield.
And one thing to note that actually the Bob Whites have only gained 3 offensive yards so far this game, total of 3. So certainly not the way they hoped. And maybe after seeing that tight game they had with Rice, not what we expected going out. All right, they got 2 wide receivers over the left, 2 to the right, and 1 man in the backfield. We've got a receiver in motion from the right to the left, and we've got the quarterback rolling over to his left to take advantage of that. And it's out to his man Clark at about the first down line, gets it a little farther out on the far sideline.
That's a good job taking advantage. Use that speed sweep with Owen Clark and try to get him to the edge a little bit quicker so that whoever's going to be picking him up, in all likelihood that linebacker moving over a man coverage, is not going to be able to keep up to Clark because he's in motion. He's already at that full head of steam. That's a great pass there from Mark Connor to get him in play, not send him out of bounds with the pass, then give him an opportunity to make a move.
That was a similar sort of play to what we saw Mount Anthony be most successful with last week.
Yeah.
Have a receiver come over and then have that receiver be your option, first option as they move. Just Clark in motion, and it's going back. All the ball's on the ground. Looked like a botched handoff there between Connor and the running back, but BFA did manage to jump on it.
It's going to be 2nd and 12. the ball on the 31.
Here's the opportunity. Like you said, this is an offense that hasn't been gaining much, just three yards coming into this drive. They get that first try, a little bit of confidence. That is a play where you need to get maybe 2-3 yards. Keep giving yourself that belief that, hey, we can move the ball on these guys. And on the opposite side of that, Tiger football, they got to make the stand right here and kind of put BFA in the back seat.
It is second and 12 here, and it goes over to the running back over on the right side. He manages to evade a tackle and gets up to about the 35. That's Rolo on that carry.
And that play was created there from Jack, shut down from Jack Honcho. He does a great job getting off his block on the outside. Comes up, doesn't make the tackle, but he's going to give Rolo a little hit, and that's going to slow him down. He's going to have to go from top speed to about half speed and let the rest of the Tigers coming from the inside catch up and stop him before he can get to the next level.
And the Tigers are leading by a score of 7-0 over St. Albans with 2:36 left to go in this first quarter. It's 3rd and 8. For the Bob Whites. It is Mark Connor back in the shotgun. He's looking downfield immediately. He's being pressured, but he's got a man down the middle. Almost intercepted by Jack Honchel at the opposite 40. Ball just kind of lofted up in the air there, Marshall.
And again, great coverage from Jack Honchel. Now he's a little upset he doesn't get the interception, but I think they're probably going to get the ball right around the same spot on this punt. But this was a great play from Honchel. Because what he does is he plays back. And so they've got two play side receivers coming at him. He doesn't let either of them get beyond him. So that way, he can come up and make a play on the ball if it's thrown to either of them. So great discipline from Honcho. Not pick one receiver and play that play side third and just shut everything down.
Jerry Clark has been the target of all four of BFA's attempts. And it is Mark Connor in back. He is punting it away here. Go over towards Honcho again. The ball kind of just kicking out of bounds between the 40 and the 35.
Tiger football brought to you by Desigree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat. 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury with the new drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virginia. That's Desibray Dry Cleaning.
Well, the Tigers, the first couple possessions, have gotten some movement on the ball for sure. They've got 38 yards out of Trey Kaufman alone here so far in the game, leaving by a score of 7-0, and they're coming out here for their third possession. Looking over to the near sideline, getting the calls in from the coaches. They come up into a little different set here. Two receivers left, two receivers right, and only one man, Troy Fisher, in the backfield. Gordon takes the ball and he hands it off to Fisher right up the middle, immediately stoned at the line of scrimmage.
Now, I like this look when the Tigers go with the two wide receiver. Not crazy about the extended A where basically they send the two halfbacks out into the slot position, but I do like when they go two wide receivers because what it does is it stretches the defense out, and now you're able to do runs inside without it being basically 11 on 11. You get that 7 on 7 opportunity. There's more free space to run from the backfield.
Second and 8 for the Tigers, man in motion. And it's Gordon on the keeper. He flips it over to Trey Kaufman, who's still behind the line of scrimmage. He's got a couple people coming up to get him, and that's going to be a very minimal gain there for Trey.
That's a great job, though, by Trey Kaufman to evade one tackler and then make sure he gets back to the line of scrimmage, though. If I'm Oakley Gordon, I want him to attack the line of scrimmage on that option. What he did, he takes the read. He knows it's a keep, and he keeps it, and he doesn't go after Austin Gudu for BFA at the defensive end. He's got to attack him, draw him in, and then take the pitch.
You'd like him to see him him to pull up towards.
Because Gudu is going to end up being right there on the tackle.
It's Ali Abdul Sader in motion. It's Gordon running back. He's got Sader on that south side. It's Kaufman. He goes high to. Nice snag by Trey after only a couple yards. And a quick whistle probably there for the officials from the St. Albans perspective. And it was Kaufman. And it's going to be fourth down here for the Tigers.
I thought he might have had Chase Messner open downfield. Looked like Chase Messner's going to be running about a 15-yard out route downfield. Would have been beyond the first down line. But Oakley Gordon kind of rushed through that, had his eye on Kaufman and hit him underneath. He waits about a half second more, knows the route that Messner's going to go, and he throws it to him. That's a first down. But this offense, I think they can be effective through the air right now.
Gordon's waiting at about the 28, ready to punt it away. It's a little to the right for him, but he's able to attempt it and puts a nice punt up. Very nice job, and it's bouncing in a Tiger sort of way. It's going to die at about the 15-yard line of the St. Albans Bob Whites. So here come the Bob Whites, who have had really no offensive success tonight so far to speak of. 34 seconds left to go in the first quarter. Tigers leading BFA by a score of 7-0.
This is a great punt there from Oakley Gordon, but again, Noah Rolo very tentative in the back. The return game right now for the Bob Whites allows that thing to bounce a little bit more than he may have wanted to see it go. But this defense, like you talked about, great in the secondary. They're not allowing BFA to be multidimensional. They're not even allowing them to be single-dimensional at this point. but they're really taking away passing game, something that BFA's trying to work with, and then great job from the front seven right now for the Tigers stopping the run.
Only one offensive yard for the Bobwhites so far, and it's kind of a mess on the handoff there as Mark Connor drops back with it, and a gang of Tigers jump right on him. That's going to be a major loss there, or at least a small loss for the Bobwhites.
That's a little bit of miscommunication on the BFA side of the ball, but they're not really doing anything offensively on the offensive line. That's a big testament right now to this defensive front for Middlebury. They're doing a great job getting penetration to the backfield and making sure that if the halfback is going to get the ball or even the quarterback is going to get the carry, he's getting met either at the line of scrimmage or even behind the line of scrimmage. That's essentially eliminating the opportunity for a long run.
As time runs out, and that's going to do it for the first quarter for the Tigers. The score is 7-0 Middlebury. You're listening to high school football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark.
Set, fly, ready, fly, ready. Hut, hut, hut.
Hey, Martin, it's fun to watch these football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
National Bank of Middlebury is there for you 24/7. Buying a home, sending your kids to college, or starting a new business? They're here to make it happen, helping families and businesses achieve their dreams since 1831. With offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at nbmvt.com, or on your mobile phone, anytime, anywhere. Bank real, live real. National Bank of Middlebury. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And what's it going to be for the Bobwhites of BFA St. Albans here? The second quarter's beginning. Second and 11 for them, trailing by 7-0, but that doesn't really tell the tale. Sounds like a very close game. Right now for BFA, you're just looking to get something started. We've got the quarterback coming up under center, and that's Connor. Looking around, he's got one receiver to the left, one receiver to the right, two running backs in the backfield, and he goes to his fullback right up the middle, pounds a hole right in the middle of the line, but really no opening there for him.
No opening because that's great play side support. Nick Beauchamp playing the nose tackle position, able to get over to where he's going. Shuts that hole down almost immediately. And like we talked about right before the break, is that the Tigers are prohibiting the Bobwhites from the backs from getting to the line of scrimmage without finding or being hit. You know, they're not getting up to full speed before they're being hit by the Tigers. That's really stopping them from being able to get even a 3 or 4 yard gain at this point.
That was Xavier Pidgeon on the run, who's now out as a wide receiver. They've got two to the right, two to the left, and it's Connor dropping back. He's got Pigeon almost picked off right there in the center of the field by Tiger number 65, Chris Greer, a guy you had mentioned earlier, Marshall.
Yeah, that's a great play from Chris Greer, dropping back into coverage in that linebacker. You know they're throwing the ball, so you know you don't need to bring a blitz at this point. You can drop back and play it. I would like to see Connor maybe look off the defender a little bit, but he's kind of shooting down the first guy he sees, but that doesn't mean Chris Greer. That's a great job to get in position, keep the hips turn towards the field, knowing that you got a little bit of step on him. You know, at some point you're going to have to flip him and not backpedal, but he backpedals a perfect amount, has a chance to make the play. You know, unfortunately, bounces off his hands.
And it's going to be a punt here for the Bobwhites on 4th and 9, and it's going to be a high one. It's going to get to Gordon right about at midfield. He fakes it over to Hotchell, but keeps it himself. Big space on the right sideline. He's got people. He's got blockers. If they can take it to him, he can go all the way, and he does. What a kick return, 49 yards for Oakley Gordon.
And that is a product of a perfect reverse option for the Tigers. Every week you practice that about 15, 20 minutes in practice, and that is a great job. Oakley Gordon with a great sell on that fake, but that is a great job from the Tiger return team to set up that wall along the sideline. And really, every play that the reverse is run and you have a chance, you know, to fake that handoff, you should be going for 6 because you set up a wall. really a fence is what the coaching staff is going to call it. And that gives that return man that wall. They just run right behind between the sideline and then right between the sideline and the numbers markers. That's a great play from that return team from the Tigers.
Ed Gordon puts up the point after, and that's right down the middle. What a 20-second gap there for Oakley Gordon. 7 points on the board. It's the Middlebury Tigers, 14-0. You're listening to high school football on the Middlebury Tigers One Credit Union Radio Network.
4th and Goal Sports opened in 1983 with the goal of being the sports shop for individual athletes and teams in Middlebury. 31 years later, they want to thank you, their friends, for helping them achieve their goal. For the best in sports equipment at the best price, there's only one place to go. 4th and Goal in Middlebury. They're all about Middlebury College, too. Hats and sweatshirts for their home teams. 4th and Goal, 68 Main Street, Middlebury. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And Oakley Gordon, who may have been a little, kind of razzed up for last week, certainly is putting his mark on the game tonight. It's kind of that dual threat thing we've seen so many times with the quarterback also killing him on the kicking game. A 49, 50-yard, whatever you want to call it, punt return there for Gordon, and then he tacks on the PAT. Tigers ahead 14-0 with 11:02 left to go in the second quarter. Gordon puts the kick up. It's Gordon all over the place here, and he gets it down to about the 20, but of course it bounced out of bounds. So BFA will be walking that ball up a little bit to start this next possession.
If the coach staff accepts that penalty, I assume they will. Looks like they do. They're going to decline that one. So they would have taken the ball at the 40. Instead, they're taking a page out of Dennis Smith's kind of coaching book where he never, if you kick it outside, out of bounds on a kickoff, he wants you to keep re-kicking because you got that reverse opportunity for the Tigers. Now BFA doing the same thing. You're going to be able to return this ball about 5 yards further upfield rather than take it out of the 40. And this is putting a lot of weight on the return man to get past that 40 and make this return worth it.
And so they will line it up here this time from the 35. And here comes Gordon. He's set it down. Now they've advanced a little bit. Returners are waiting at about the 15. As you say, maybe a little deeper than you might expect here, which is something we saw last week again from Mount Anthony. They kept having to run it up and kind of almost misplayed the ball a few times. And kind of the same situation here. It bounces one man, picks it up at about the 20. And he gets driven down at about the 32. And that's a pretty uneventful return there.
And if I'm the BFA coach staff, probably taking that at the 40, knowing that you don't have a return game like Middlebury's, that the reverse can break every time. But you believe in your team. You believe you can make that play happen. It just doesn't really work out. Now you kind of, you would have had the ball at the 40. You're about 8 yards, 7 yards back for this. Maybe a little bit, you need a momentum. Had the opportunity and kind of threw that one away.
I have to admit, I might look at it. At least I have the ball safely on the 40. That's good field position. All right, and here they come. One man out to the right. Everybody else in pretty close. They got a running back in motion, and it's over to him here on this near sideline. Almost has a hole. Able to pick up, really unable to pick up very much. Looks like a gain of about 3 for number 31. Noah Rollo.
That's a great play on the defensive side of the ball. Corlin Fisher sprinting across from play side linebacker position. Doesn't let himself get sealed in on the toss and makes that play. A 2 yard gain. And that's a toss that should be able, if you're the offensive line, you should be able to seal that end in, seal that play side linebacker, and it should basically just become a 2-on-2 with the blocker in the back against the corner and the safety. And Corlin Fisher does not allow that to happen.
Bob White's coming quickly up to the line here with Mark Connor under center. He turns and gives it off to his fullback up the middle, and this is a run by number 7, Tanner Chaffee, who we haven't really seen tonight. He gets nothing.
On that one, that's Jerry Nemo coming up inside. Jerry Nemo and Bruce Wright, play side, stopping again. Coffee not able to get anything going. He's hit at the line of scrimmage, and he maybe falls forward for 1 yard, but that's coming in play side. That's forcing him to kind of come off the ball a little bit, not be strong through the hole, and have to kind of try to make a move through the hole. And that's basically the story of this first half for BFA.
And it's Connor back in shotgun. He's got 2 wide to the right. And the snap comes in low. He keeps himself and absolutely eaten up behind the line of scrimmage as he tries to move forward after the fake.
And again, Bruce Wright and Jerry Nemo, play side coming up. They don't buy the fake. They know it's coming right back at them. They play their job. They don't follow Rollo to the play side. And they're waiting there for Connor as that one comes back at him. And now here's the opportunity. You don't allow BFA to move the ball at all. This is an opportunity now for the Tigers to really start putting this thing on ice very early in this football game.
And so far in this quarter, BFA with only 3 yards. It's going to be a punt for them once again. It's Mark Connor standing back, getting ready to punt it away. And is it going to be a timeout? I see a hanky out on the ground.
Should be a false start, maybe legal motion there, play side or far side. BFA is going to make it just a little bit longer punt here for Connor.
Looks like on Logan Bushy there. The first, no, not Logan Bushy. Connor Callaway, number 44. It's going to be 5 yards back, so they're walking back. They're going to repeat the down. So this time you're going to have Hotchel and Gordon waiting at about the 43, 44-yard line. So no matter what for the Tigers, as long as nothing goes crazy, they're going to be looking in a nice position to start this next drive. And it's Mark Connor back, ready to punt it away. And here it comes. And here comes the punt. Pretty useful punt there going to Gordon. It's going to be a little tricky, bounce off the ground. He fields it nicely at about the 38, running over to his left side. A nice block there to spring him. He's able to get about 8 extra yards there on that real nice block by Tiger Andrew Gleason.
Tiger football brought to you by Foster Motors, home of the We Care people on Route 7 in Middlebury. That's Foster Motors. That's a great, thank you, Ted. Great block there from Andrew Gleason. Springs Oakley Gordon in a spot where I was looking maybe a 3 or 4 yard return. Makes about a 10-11 yarder, and that gives the Tigers ball right at midfield, just about in their own 49, and an opportunity again. Keep this offensive game, run game going, and a chance to really blow this thing open.
And Tigers leading 14-0, first and 10. And so it's the handoff up the middle to the ball carrier. Manages to dive forward for about 4 yards or so, maybe five. That's Quillen Fisher on the carry, diving into the line.
That's what I like to see. I like to see Fisher getting that ball. Just a clean give. That's not going to go to the option there. That's a designed run play up the middle for Fisher. And this is a guy that has the capability to be the workhorse like we talked about in the pregame. And again, right there we're seeing a little glimpse of that.
Only two more carries, and he will have tied his number of attempts all week last week. So certainly going to Fisher, as you called for, early and often here. We've got Kaufman in motion. We've got the handoff to Fisher, but it's kept by Gordon. He keeps it himself. He's down on the ground, and Bob Whites are saying they have it. But again, maybe a pretty quick whistle there, but I did look like he was down.
And that's another play. I think there might have been a give inside. Oakley Gordon pulled it there and runs it to two guys, tries to make that hard cut to try to bring him in before going to the pitch man. But I thought, again, that's an opportunity. Maybe go up inside to Corlin Fisher. He's a guy who's got that success. He gets you 5 yards on play one. Go right back to him. Let him get that train running.
Third and nine. Third and about eight here for the Tigers with 7:40 left to go in the second quarter. Gordon comes up under center. He's got three running backs. He's calling it out. And here he goes. He gives it over to Nemo. He's rumbling over towards the right side. He's going sideways now. Turns it upfield a little bit and manages to get about to the 45 of the Bob Whites. But there is some laundry on the field.
That's a play there. Nemo like to see. Put his right foot in the ground. Cut up the inside of his blockers who are trying to, you know, basically send all the Bob Whites to the outside. And he ran right to the outside where they were trying to block him, and that really hurt that play. But if this is a penalty on Middlebury, it's all going to be for naught no matter what.
It did just kind of get strung out longer and longer and longer towards the sideline.
Preliminary face mask against the Bob Whites.
It's against the Bob Whites. It's going to be a face mask. Are they talking about a couple different things here? Nope, the Bob Whites are backing up. So for BFA, maybe certainly not what you needed at this juncture. 15 yards. They take that seriously, Marshall.
Oh, absolutely, and that's backbreaking if you're the Bob Whites, because you have a great defensive possession. You really prevent Middlebury from getting anything going, and then you shoot yourself in the foot by making a pretty bad penalty there at the end of the drive, or end of the play, excuse me. Although, if it was on the ball carry, I didn't really see it on Nemo. I thought that was just kind of, you know, collision. His head kind of goes with it just because he's getting hit. I don't know about a face mask.
Well, either way it happened, it's going to be first and 10 for the Tigers at about the 32. Of the Bob Whites. And it's Gordon dropping back, looking to go long. He's got a man, Sawyer Ryan, on the far sideline, just off his fingers at the 2 yard line, unable to bring it in.
I thought he might have had Trey Kaufman there on the inside of the field. Trey Kaufman going up. He's got the defender with his hips still turned towards the quarterback. If he lobs that one to the middle of the end zone, Trey Kaufman's going to be easily running underneath that ball for a touchdown. But that was a nice ball, just tipped off the fingertips of Sawyer Ryan. So that's a great ball by Oakley Gordon. They're just not hitting on that passing.
pretty nice for Oakley Gordon to have a couple receivers like that. Sawyer Ryan running about 6'2", probably Kaufman about 6'3", 6'4". Pretty nice to have those weapons. And it's a handoff to Nemo. Cuts up the middle. Nice hole. Steps right through it. Powering his way up the middle. Gets down to about the 26-yard line. High step of Jerry Nemo. We saw a lot of him, that out of him last year. Actually, he's at about the 16-yard line.
Nemo runs very strong. Even if you hit him, his legs continue to churn. And that's a great run from Nemo. He gets hit about 2 yards downfield, but he's such a strong kid, especially strong in the lower body. He's able to power right through that and get to the next level and just use his speed to try to get downfield.
That's kind of funny. Usually you think about people lowering their pads to do it. He stays upright, but manages to do it. It's going to hand off to Nemo again. Tries to find that hole in the middle again as he comes around, but that one closes very quickly. No gain on that run.
The thing kind of about it is that you're right. He doesn't lower his pad level all that much, but when he hits the hole so hard, and he's often hitting a guy that's basically stopped, he's able to go through that arm tackle because he has so much force running through him. If he were to drop his pad level, you know, a little bit, obviously he'd be even more powerful than he already is, but he's able to, with that running style being rather straight up, he's still able to break through because of that leg, and often those guys are just kind of standing still with him.
Tigers rolling along here, 2nd and 7, the ball on the 15. Tigers leading 14-0, 6 minutes left to go in the corner. It goes over to Coffin. He's running to the left side, his favorite place to work. He's getting tracked out on the far sideline. A gain of about 5.
That's a good job there from Bob Weiss. They're able to string that on. Good patience from Trey Kaufman, but he's unable to there at the last second. He's trying to wait for Nick Beauchamp, go and hit his man downfield and then cut off of that. And that's a good job from the Bob Weiss. They string it out so that he doesn't have that capability, even with that patience that he showed, to give that one cut and go as they were able to swarm on him.
I think if they're getting a read off him, it's that he'll tend to keep going outside
a little bit there.
Gordon staying underneath. He's got Nemo in motion. He's got Fisher taking it up the middle. Find a little bit of spot on the right side of the offensive line, pounded forward to about the 5-yard line, and that should be a first down.
It's going to bring up 1st and goal from the 5 for the Tigers, and Corley Fisher kind of runs the ball like every fullback in front of him here in Middlebury. Two hands on the ball, shoulders down. I'm not going to cut on you, but I'm going to run right into you, and if you don't want to get hit, I'm going right over you. And that's a great job from Fisher, and I would like to see them go right back to him again here from the 5.
Why not? Sitting on the 5-yard line, you're ahead by 2 touchdowns. Keep working Tiger football here, and they sure do, and he's completely untouched in the end zone. The Red Sea just parted there, really kind of the yellow see, and it was a touchdown for Cortland Fisher.
Now you can't stop going to the kid. He's got that strength. He just keeps running, and his feet, like Nemo, constantly moving, constantly progressing, and a great job. Great run there and great play call to make sure that you're getting to your big hefty up inside.
And so the Tigers sitting on a 20-0 lead. Gordon coming out to try to work on a 21-0 lead here. We'll see what happens. And they're getting set. Oakley getting ready at about the 14, waiting for that snap. And here it comes from the center of the line here. It's a little low, but able to be brought in, and it's to the left. That's going to be no good. So the score, 20-0. The Tigers are starting to get in charge of this game. You're listening to Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance in a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Now back to the field for more Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
Well, if I said in the intro that you don't always get a second chance to make a first impression, I think the Tigers are managing to do that tonight. I think anyone sitting here watching this game, yes, you may not have the speed backs of yesteryear, but you've got a lot of powerful people. You've got an offensive line opening up some holes. You've got a team that's pretty much clicking all cylinders. I think you might say the more things change, Marshall, the more they stay the same.
Well, I think it was one thing that I had mentioned to you when we were off air during the pregame was just the size of the Middlebury Tiger offensive line. This isn't, a prolific 6'2", 250 line, but comparably to years past, it's a lot bigger offensive line and defensive line, and that's certainly helping them.
Gordon with the kick. It's a little low, and it's bouncing in front of the returner. It's picked up. He's got it about the 15, running right up the middle. He's got a little bit of a gap. He's got a clear gap. There's no one behind him, virtually untouched up the middle. He is going to go all the way. What a run there by number 19, Jared Clark. What a run. Goodness gracious. Right up the middle, found a hole. What great job by the kick team. And that's return
a,
team.
That's a kind of the kickoff return where everyone except Middlebury, when you're basically just trying to shoot a gap, which they're trying to do is you're kind of just going, you know, 9 times out of 10, someone's going to get free and someone's going to stop the ball carry before he can hit the hole. That time, no one was able to get free. Every block was made, and if a guy got off it, it was to the outside of the hole. And Clark's able to hit that thing so hard that, you know, he's got great speed. He's got great finishing speed that as soon as he gets through that gut and every block has been spewed out away from him, he's going to turn the afterburners and go. That's a great run. That's exactly what BFA needs. Now, the problem is you're going to get on the scoreboard. You're getting on the scoreboard without your offense doing anything, which is good, but at the same time, it's bad because you don't have any production. You don't have any confidence now on the offensive side of the ball.
You're not developing any rhythm, but you are getting some points. It's Mark Connor back, and he's putting the extra point kick up, and that kick is good. It's Tigers 20, but now the BFA Bobwhites 7. So a little closer of a game. You're listening to Vermont High School Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's crazy sometimes how quickly things can shift in football. And all it took was Jared Clark getting the seam and actually doing a nice job knocking down some arms, too. There were some bodies on him, but he managed the high step through that line. 85 yards later, he was in for a touchdown, getting the Bob Whites on the board and making the score now 20-7 with 4:44 left to go in the second quarter. And out come the Bob Whites, ready to tee it up, ready to give back to the Tigers. Marshall, as you pointed out, that might be good for the Bob Whites, but going back on defense may not be that good right now.
Exactly, this Tiger football, this Tiger offensive line is just, it's strong right now, and it's got some big guys up front, and kind of everything's worked for them. Good offensive line, and then a great job in the backfield to be patient, wait for the hole, making the right reads and making the right cut, accepting a 5-yarder instead of trying to break it for 50. And they're doing a good job of it.
Oh, and it's a little thing all right to Sawyer Ryan. They tried to knock it down, almost a little bit of an attempt of an onside Ryan kick sort of situation, and catch them by surprise. Instead, it goes right into Sawyer Ryan's hands, very relaxed, actually, by Sawyer, and he's able to pick up the ball at the 48-yard line.
It's a great job. You know, you're a returner, and you're able to go, or you're a wide receiver if you're Sawyer Ryan. You used to block, you get a chance. He's got good hands, so it's a great play from Sawyer Ryan, being alert and being ready for that, knowing that it's got a capability of coming right at you.
And the Tigers able to take it over with 4:43 left to go in the second quarter, looking up to eat up some clock and put some points on the board. It's Gordon under center. He's got Nemo in motion in the back, but unfortunately he also had a man in motion up the line. That's going to be a penalty on the Tigers.
Tiger football brought to you by 4th and Goal. Everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond on 68 Main Street in Middlebury. 4th and Goal.
And there you go. So they're moving them back, and they are going to repeat the drive down after a 5-yard penalty. First and 15 for the Tigers. 4:42 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers leading by a score of 20-7. You're listening to Tiger Football, 92.1 WVTK. Here comes Gordon up under center. He's got three running backs, no wide receivers. And Gordon hands it off the middle to Fisher yet again, who drives into the line and really gets stoned. Maybe 1-yard gain there.
Yeah, Fisher goes right to the line, but waiting for him there was Austin Gudu. And that's a guy, time or situation there where Oakley going, kind of want to see him hit that one a little bit harder like he does before, and he kind of just runs into a guy. Gudu, you know, big guy on the offense or the defensive line for BFA. Corn Fisher, a little bit of attentiveness as he got the ball and just kind of waited to get hit. Like to see him gain that aggressiveness that he's got and hit that ball, hit the hole with a lot of aggressiveness and a lot of enthusiasm.
And Gordon up under center again. Nemo's going out to the left, looking to go into motion. Here's Coffin going over to that left side where he does so much work. Nothing there. Gets drilled for about a three-yard loss.
That's a good job on the BFA side of the ball. Do a great job coming up from the linebacker position and shut it down. Here's the opportunity. That penalty really hurts Middlebury because BFA's got some confidence on the kickoff return. Now it may be false confidence in the fact that you don't do anything outside, just get a kind of fluke kickoff return for six. But now if you can get a stop, now you say, hey, we got a shot here. Offenses, get out there and let's make a play. Let's cut into this lead again. It's a big, big play for BFA.
Gordon with four wide receivers. He drops to the right side, looking to go downfield. He does look downfield, but it's a little too strong on the throw. He had Hodgell running down this near sideline. That was overthrown. It's going to be 4th and 12 for the Tigers. They are going to be punted away. And Marshall, just a note, as they come out to punt it, even though the Tigers are playing well tonight, not a ton of yards, except for three big plays, a gain of 14 and 17 early on for Trey Coffin, and then a 15-yard run by Nemo. Other than that, they're pretty short runs by the Tigers. In fact, Fisher, who does have a touchdown, is averaging 3.1 yards a carry. He's only got 31 yards, and considering how many times we've given him the ball, it's a little surprising. BFA doing a pretty good job. Gordon getting the high snap, does get it downfield. It bounces nicely for the Tigers as the man runs back and gets it about the 10. Covered well by the Tigers, but he's cutting. He's making some space, and he gets about the 20-yard line, and that's where St. Albans is going to take over at 3:12 left to go in the second quarter, trailing 7-20.
Now, you mentioned that they're not getting a lot of yards on the ground outside of those big runs. I think that's a reason for a couple things. The first thing is that's a product of having great field position. They haven't been backed up inside, I don't think inside their own 30 yet in this game, so they're working really close to around the 40 to midfield just about every possession. And at the same time, this isn't an offense that's created to break a long run. It's an offense that's created to wear you down and try to get 3 yards a pop and break you down on a 10-play drive rather than a 2-play drive.
Connor back in the shotgun. He's the man over on this side. It's his favorite, Jared Clark, who has some space over this side. Kind of cuts it back into a man. Ends up getting to the 25. Maybe could have gotten a little more if he had taken a different direction.
Chase Messner comes up there from the secondary spot, the safety position there from the Tigers, makes a great play. Ali Abdul-Slater is going to be blocked there from the play side wide receiver. He's going to come up, and that's a great play in space because that's a position where you're the defensive man. You're not in a position of, you don't have an advantage there. That guy's going to make a move. You got to react to it, especially in space. That's a great job of tackling in space from Chase Messner.
And it comes in. Looks like a little bit of a little bit botched handoff. Everything kind of stalled up the middle there. Tanner Chaffee unable to get anything, immediately stalled at the line by the Tigers.
Looked like Connor kind of wanted to do a fake and then a give, and Chaffee was just able to take it right out of his hand, and that might have been a miscommunication there in the Bob White backfield. But now again, so you get a stand on defense, you get a touchdown on the kick return, but this offense for BFA is not doing anything, and this was a possession where they really need to create some confidence. You're late in the second or the first half, 2 minutes left now. This was an opportunity. They have to try to capitalize here on 3rd and 7.
3rd and 7. This is important. Jared Clark's in motion from the left to the right. And Connor's looking for him at this near sideline. He's able to get a few yards, get up to the 30. That's not going to be enough for the Bob Whites. Bob Whites are going to be putting it away to the Tigers one more time.
And here's the difference between a good quarterback and a great quarterback in high school football is depending on where and when you make a read. Mark Connor is looking down his number one option, and he's throwing to him the moment he gets open. He is not taking the time to say, right now he's not open. I think maybe in 2 seconds he might be. I'm going to look one more spot, see if he's got another guy open downfield, then come back to him. What he's doing, he's staring him down, and he's throwing right to him. That's something we saw a lot of last week with Norma. You kind of look down your number one receiver, you realize he's not there, or you realize he is, and you just throw it. You're not looking for the next guy. I thought he had another guy wide open.
Ed Connor's going to punt here. Nice punt, well over the head of Hodgell, and it's bouncing. I think Gordon's just going to let it die at about the 17-yard line of the Tigers. A note as you say that, Marshall, every single attempt has gone the direction of Jared Clark. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 attempts. There's been 4 completions, a total of 21 yards. Tigers coming out here to take over. 1:40 left on the clock in the second quarter. Second quarter, it's taking a little while here to roll along, it feels like.
Yes.
20-7, the Tigers leading the Bob Whites.
A little bit more passing because of that. A little bit more passing for both sides of the ball. First quarter, the Tigers were really moving the ball a lot on the ground this time. They kind of tried to put it up through the air.
And it's Gordon under center with his three running backs, and it's to Fisher again. Fisher chest in the middle of that line, getting driven back fairly quickly after a gain of about three.
That's a great second push there from Corlin Fisher. Gets stood up, makes a last second dive. Looks like maybe even got a little bit more.
That was not actually Fisher. I take it back. I assumed it was because of the position. It was Parker Gross on that carry.
Running very similar to Fisher on that
one. Sure, absolutely. Stick his nose right in there. That'll be his first carry of the season, I believe. And it goes to Gross again. He's got a hole on the right side, punching it up through. We'll see if they gave him enough for the first down.
Gross again, the ball carrier.
And it looks like he's going to be on about the 27 and a half. What do you think? I think he's going to have
third and one.
It's tough to see the far side just because of the angle of it. But they're going to give it to him. That's a good call. I think you're right. He was there, and it's a good run. Again, Parker Gross gets about a 6-yard carry on the first one, and then he does the same thing. He's got a good little sidestep, kind of loses the trail for a second, but he does a great job sidestepping through a defender and making a dive there for the first down.
As for the Tigers, 58 seconds left on the clock, and it is going down. They're leading by 20-7, first and 10 here, but they've got a ways to go. And it's Gordon handing it off up the middle again. Why not just try? Fumble, it's still a slamming people as he goes through, working his way up to about the 34, and you can hear the crowd give him an ovation just for the effort there.
Certainly chugging along. That's a great run. Keeps the feet moving, keeps chopping and chopping, and I wouldn't be surprised if they keep trying to get it to him inside, because running the ball right now, Parker Gross.
At this point, you wonder if you go for a play action here at some point. All right, so they give it to Gross again. He's just absolutely bullying people over. He's not trying to avoid anything, Marshall. He's just levering himself into people. He gets up to the 42. That's a gain of 8.
That was a great run. What he did there, he gets the ball, and as soon as he sees the secondary, basically you can just almost see his teeth frothing from up here. Puts his feet into the ground, head down. He just runs as fast as he can, as hard as he can, right through the defender, and does a great job picking up the first down. This is a smart timeout right now from the Middlebury Tigers sideline.
Probably have a little bit of a chance here. You've got 25 seconds. You look at a little bit of feast and famine. 25 seconds, you're not going to be able to put together a long drive. What can you do to kind of free yourself up, maybe get a chance to put something on the board? At the same time, you don't want to do anything crazy up by 27 going to halftime.
Well, absolutely, but I think what they've done is I think they missed on two deep balls through the air, so I won't be surprised if they try to go back to it. On the last possession, they had Jack Huntrell wide open down the sideline. That was overthrown by about a foot or two. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to go back to that type of play, try to get the halfback out of the backfield, hit the sideline, run a little out and up action, and try to get something deep downfield and try to get that kind of last second score to take any wins out of the sails that BFA might have.
And BFA, you think set up in a pass defense right from the get-go?
I think you're trying to preach that. The problem is that the last couple plays is that they've been going inside, so you don't want to open up the inside and drop everybody back. But that's the message you got to deliver to safety. Let them know, hey, you got to play back.
Fisher's back in at fullback, but it's Gordon dropping back. Look downfield. He's going to keep it himself and find a little space over in the left. He's got some room to run, but he's really headed towards the sideline instead of upfield. Does manage to get to about the 50.
And I think that one thing that I like to see Oakley Gordon do is try to throw a man open. And he's kind of waiting for a guy to get open before he's throwing it. I think he's got Trey Kaufman over the top, because right now in the secondary, he's trying to, as if he believes that Trey Kaufman isn't open because Alec Letourneau was right there covering him. But if you can lob that one, I think Trey Kaufman's got a little bit more speed than Letourneau. He's going to be able to beat him downfield, and you're going to be able to get a first down.
There's a 7-yard gain. They're going to have the ball at about the 48, although even that is going to change because there was a flag down on the play.
Now, this is going to be an illegal formation right now on Middlebury. They're going to say 12 men on the field, and this is why it's a wrong call. That play should not be 12 men until Oakley Gordon puts his hands under center. That means now the play is live. If there's 12 men on the field for either side, that's too many men. Oakley Gordon is standing next to Corlin Fisher in the backfield. That's not a penalty that they're going to call, because you're just making a substitution at that point. And that's backbreaking. It's frustrating because Oakley Gordon is doing a great job taking his time. Nobody's got a substitution. He's got to get to the line. That's a bad call. That could end up hurting Middlebury a lot. It was second and one.
And now it's moved back to, as you say, it's going to be second and about eight here for maybe seven for the Tigers. And we've got Abdul Sader in motion. Gordon running back. He's going to be looking downfield for a receiver. He does get it off. It's high. He's got a bunch of different people. And really it falls to no one out in the middle of the field down at about the 20.
Before we take off, Tiger Football brought to you by Mike's Fuels for all your home, business, and agricultural needs on Route 22A in Bridport. And I think that was an instance of Gordon trying to throw the man open. This will probably be a situation. 6 seconds left. No point in trying to put it on the ground and risk a fumble. No point in tossing up, trying to get a deep pass or intercepted downfield. I won't be surprised if they either sit on this one or go with one of the easier ones, although they are lining up ready to throw deep.
So as you say, with 6 seconds to go, it's not totally unlike the Tigers to sometimes look like you're going to do that and then just take a knee. And no, it's Gordon going back. Why not? He's going to see what he's got. He's going to be conservative about it, though. And he does throw it up. He has a man. He almost gets intercepted. It's Dawson Gradden who manages to cut in front of Hodgel and knock it down. And that's going to be it for the first half. It's 20-7. Middlebury Tigers leading the BFA Bobwhites. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
McIntyre Services, a family business owned and operated in Middlebury for 72 years. They sell home heating fuel, diesel fuel, and gasoline. One on 213 Exchange Street, and you have the news station, 49 Court Street. Both are in Middlebury, and both are open 24/7. Sunoco is their brand, and they encourage their customers to apply for the Sunoco Rewards Card, which gives you 5 cents a gallon off the pump price of gasoline or diesel. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 72 years.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 unique career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve. You'll make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
There's strong, and then there's Army strong. Paid for by the United States Army. Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve and you will make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong. And then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Hi, this is Craig Lee, sales manager at Foster Motors, inviting you in for our Labor Day sales event. Now through September 10th, we have 0% financing for 72 months on Chrysler 200S front-wheel drive, Dodge Charger SXT, Jeep Cherokee, and Ram 1500 light-duty. Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Labor Day sales event. 0% for well-qualified customers. Come in to Foster Motors on Route 7 South in Middlebury for details. But you better hurry up. Offers end September 10th.
If it's Tiger football, it's on WVTK, Fort Henry, Ticonderoga, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
And it's halftime here at Doc Collins Field in Middlebury. You're listening to the Middlebury Tigers on 92.1 WVTK, Port Henry, New York, and Middlebury, Vermont. Welcome to the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show. Tiger football is brought to you by Mike's Fuels in Bridport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County. And Mike's Fuels are always rooting for the Tigers. Mike's Fuels is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835. Or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels, Route 22A in Bridport. And it's cooling off here, Marshall, but the Tigers appear to be heating up. Let's have a recap of the first half scoring.
Tigers got going on their opening drive, used Trey Coffman for three carries, 36 yards, basically all on those counter plays, and capped it off with a five-yard touchdown, put them up 7-0. They'd answer in the second, right off the first minute of the second half, a 49-yard punt return for Oakley Gordon, and the extra point was good. That put them up 14-0. Then a long drive. Jared Nemo had two carries, 20 yards on the drive, tapped off with a Corlin Fisher five-yard touchdown, and it's a 20-0 Tiger lead, but Jared Clark, the ensuing kickoff, 85 yards to the house, and that's the only score right now for a VFA team that struggling to get going offensively, as we are at a 20-7 halftime score. Tigers in control, you mentioned, heating up. Absolutely. This is an offense. They're playing well. That counter has been working on a consistent basis. They're getting everybody involved, too. It's not a one-man show. A lot of last week, you saw a lot of Ali Abdul-Sader going off. Those 13 carries, 123 yards. Yeah, you know, good plays from Corlin Fisher, averaging close to, what was it, 7 yards per carry. But this now is an offense where everybody's getting going. We're not seeing a lot of success through the air, something I think they're still going to keep going to, because the plays are there. They're just missing on them right now. So they're certainly on a step up above from last week. But this is a running game that is very diverse. Everybody's getting an opportunity. Everybody's making the most of them, being effective on the ground through counters, through dives, and through the option. I expect more of that in the second half. And I expect with this defense, the way it's playing right now for Middlebury, to keep the Bob Whites potentially from scoring again as long as the starters are in.
Yeah, you mentioned the balance, and that's great to talk about. We have so far, there's 38 yards, actually 40 yards on the ground for Trey Coffin. We've got 20 yards on the ground and a touchdown for Cortland Fisher. We've got 24 yards on the ground for Cortland Fisher and a touchdown. 20 yards on the ground for Jerry Nemo, as you say, all on that one drive. And then it looks like it's about, let's see, 12. I had this figured out. Now I lost it. About 26 yards there so far already. A little bit less for number 35, Parker Gross. And Mike Fuel's halftime rolls on. We're going to step aside for a moment and be back with a discussion of the first half and what to look for the second, and then a little bit of discussion of what happened the last weekend around Vermont high school football. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Sometimes in life you just need a hand. Not because you fail, because we've all been there once or twice. It's because you want to make the right decision, to move forward, to make a change. Hello, everybody. This is Alan Busby from Poulin Auto Sales and Service. And it's our mission to lend a hand, to help you move forward and make that change. Just a few months ago, Holly of Milton came to us and asked us to help her out. She'd been to several of the dealers without success. She was a mother who needed a safe, reliable car, and no one would give her a chance. So we did. We work with several lending agencies like Consumer Credit that will work with you, no matter your situation. So buy your next pre-owned car or truck from Poulin Auto Sales on Shelburne Road or Eastbury Road in Barrie. Change really is good, isn't it? See the video of Holly getting into her new car at PoulinAutoSales.com. Poulin Auto Sales and Service, changing the way you feel about buying a car.
Real trust is having a partner you can count on. National Bank of Middlebury has experienced bankers providing advice, guidance, and support you can trust, and a full range of loans, savings, and online products and services. Find out what having the right partner can do for you. Offices in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Vergennes, or online at mbmvt.com. Bank real. Live real. National Bank of Middlebury.
Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. Equal opportunity employer.
Hi, this is Mike McGrath from Mike's Auto. Here's just a few things we do. Brakes, shocks, struts, wheel bearings, mufflers, tune-ups, oil changes, head gaskets, engine work. We diagnose check engine lights, ABS lights, airbag lights, DPMS lights. We do Vermont State inspections, belts, hoses, radiators, oil undercoating, front end alignments. What we don't do is Johnson rods, muffler bearings, or flux capacitors, because they don't exist. So if your car skips, grinds, wanders, or sputters, give us a call. 388-4138 in Middlebury, 453-5563 in New Haven, or just hit us on the web at mikesautomid.com. Remember, if we can't fix it, it ain't broke. And like us on Facebook.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 unique career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve. You'll make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
There's strong, and then there's Army strong. paid for by the United States Army.
This is Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And welcome back to the Mike's Fuels Halftime Show on 92.1 WVTK. You're listening to Middlebury Tiger Football. It's the second week of the season, and the Middlebury Tigers are taking on the Bob Whites of BFA St. Albans and leading by a score of 20-7. And we had mentioned some of the Tigers' work on the ground, Marshall, and I guess it's fair to mention BFA, but maybe more to put some perspective of what the Tigers are putting together here. Right now, the leading scorer for the Bob Whites, leading rusher, Noah Rollo, with 8 yards rushing. Really, the only offense has come from the combination of quarterback Mark Connor and Jared Clark, his favorite wide receiver. They have hooked up 4 times for a total of 25 yards. Really not much going there for the Bob Whites. Before we look at some of the other things going around the league here, just any thoughts about what the Bob Whites might do in the second half?
Well, I mean, you look at 4 receptions, 20 yards for Jared Clark, but I think about 11 of them came on one play there on their only first down there of the first half. So this is a team that they can't figure out what they want to be, because they're trying to run the ball, but they have no success because the defensive front right now for Middlebury is great penetration. And then they're trying to be a passing team, but all he's doing is staring down Jared Clark, and he's not looking elsewhere. So, I mean, it's tough as a coach, because you're saying we have no success in either facet. You know, we have 20 yards through the air, but 11 on one play. So you're looking at 3 yards through the other three, and that the one play it was, you know, a speed sweep, drag route, and Jared Clark's just got the speed to beat him. I would expect to see more of Jared Clark, but I'm saying that you got to get other guys involved in the running game. Rollo, you know, leading rush for 8 yards is unacceptable because your offensive line hasn't been effective. So if I'm on the BFA coach style, I'm saying, hey, this is a call to action right now for this defense or this offensive line. We're not doing anything. They're beating us off the ball. Every play, they seem to want it more than us. It's time that we start playing, because this is a big offensive line for BFA. There's no slouches as far as size go. They got to come up. They got to play like it. They got to play with a little aggression, a little strength if they want any opportunity to try to make a comeback, because their defense has played well enough, considering the circumstances they've been in, well enough to still be within 2 possessions.
That's a tough spot to be in. You'd have to think second game of the season. You just had a first game where you could say, okay, Rice, you know, they might have come up for Division II, but they're Rice. They always have something. They're just a different sort of team in the way they even put themselves together, maybe as you alluded to earlier. Things are going well. Now you're sitting here at halftime, and you're more, you know, calling out the fire brigade and saying we need to change something up majorly, as opposed to being able to highlight something good and say, let's keep on working on that. So we'll see what happens here in the second half. So looking forward, so our fans can get a sense of what's coming up here in the future, Marshall. Middlebury Tigers over the next few games are going to be away. They face the Brattleboro Colonels next week on September 11th. And for a little peek, sometimes we like to give a little peek behind the scenes. And you're a college student. You're down at Springfield College. Will you be back to school next Friday?
I'll be going back. Yeah, I'll be going back Sunday. This coming Sunday.
So you're going to have a decent drive then that next weekend to come up and join
exactly,
us for the game.
Exactly, a nice hour-long drive for me. The like, closer one for the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you're like, can you just send them all down to me at Brattleboro? That wouldn't be bad. So it's certainly exciting for everyone. The fact that you're going to balance those two things for this year, and it's just great that you're doing that. All right, the fourth week, they're going to be at Colchester. And Colchester started off last week with a win there, I believe they did. So certainly a team that it's always interesting, the Tigers, to see them match up against Colchester. Colchester always has a few wrinkles in there, one way or another. Then it'll be South Burlington at home at Doc College. Then it'll be Essex away at Rice, which I think is going to be a fascinating game. It's been quite a few years. The last time the Middlebury Tigers faced the Rice Green Knights, you're smiling about this.
The good game,
It was not necessarily anyone, you know, it was quite a game. And I think it was a Christian McCormick, I think.
It was.
A game he's going to remember for the rest of his life there at quarterback for Rice.
Well, we all remember it, just we remember it different ways. That's the thing that you got to remember.
I think I remember some good running and some good kick return action there.
We had a good game. You know, got to tip the hat. They just, you know, when you got receivers that are 6'4", you know, multiple of them, 5'7" me, I can play halfback. But even if I can jump as tall as a 6'4" kid, he's still got a couple inches on me going for ball. That was a great football team. I'm excited for that matchup. You're looking at a team in Rice who comes up, who kind of partition themselves down, and they come out and they beat BFA. Now, they're not a big team. They're going to beat you with speed, and I think that's kind of what they did to BFA last week, was they had that speed. It's going to be an interesting matchup, because I think Middlebury is turning into this really powerful team, especially considering the last couple years. You got Robinson, you got Ritter, you got Hathaway. This is a speed team the last 2 seasons. Now, this is a defensive defensive offensive line team. Greer, Bruce Wright, Nick Beauchamp. These guys are big, tough guys up the gut. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. But plenty of weeks away. Plenty of things can change. But I think that's a big matchup as far as two different types of games. A speed game versus a power game. And which one is going to prevail and which one's going to prevail more. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
In a way, this is a Middlebury team. As much as we talked about the excitement the last few years, this is what people are used to.
Oh, this is absolutely. I mean, even my days, we had the Austin Canals, Joey Zenos, these big bruising types of guys that just want to hit you. And this is what I think this Middlebury team is becoming.
And we're going to step aside for a second on the Mike Spiel Halftime Show. We'll be back. It's Middlebury Tiger Football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
For just what you need to get your projects done right, shop Martin's True Value Hardware and Radio Shack. Hi, I'm Kathleen Clark. These football games. Oh, what does that mean? The striped guy has his two arms up in the air.
It means it's good for the Tigers. Looks like they're headed for another win. Keep up the winning tradition, Tigers.
For all your fall needs, shop Martin's Hardware in Bristol and Middlebury. Behind every project is a true value.
Hey, honey, I got the mail. Yeah, let's go through it here. Oh, no. Our insurance is due. Oh, man. You know, I wish we could get the same coverage for a little less.
Why don't we call the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance in Middlebury? I have a friend that saw them and found out their payments went way down and with the same coverage.
When it's time to renew your insurance, whether it's one vehicle or your car, house, boat, and everything else bundled together, let Sue and the co-op chicks give you a free quote and save you money at the same time. Now, who doesn't like saving money? When you renew your insurance, trust the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance and let them save you money. You'll find the co-op chicks at Bordon Insurance on Merchants Row in Middlebury or call them at 388-4837. That's 388-4837.
You're listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're back here getting ready for the second half. You've been listening to the Mike's Fuel the Halftime Show. Mike's Fuels. Tiger Football is brought to you all season long by Mike's Fuels in Bridgeport, serving Addison County and parts of Rutland County. And they're always rooting for the Tigers. Mike's Fuels is your complete fuel dealer with a full line of fuels, including propane, off-road and on-road, gasoline, diesel, and fuel oil. Mike's Fuels also offers 24/7 emergency burner service. When it's time for fuel, call them at 758-3835 or 247-9500. Mike's Fuels, Route 22A in Bridport. And it's ticking down here towards the second half. And we're getting ready to go here for the Tigers.
Lenny just giving me the word. And we will not paint Sunday morning.
They're just letting them know about the painting crew. We'll assume most people of the painting crew are probably here tonight, so we won't need to fill them in on that. All right, and just to mention, we didn't get to say it, the Tigers, because we were talking about the schedule. The Tigers are going to finish off the regular season on the road against CVU. We have a little difference about when that's going to be. It says in the schedule it's on a Saturday, but you and I heard a rumor that maybe CVU got some portable lights.
Yes.
And they may end up being a Friday night game, which I know works better for you in your world of balancing your different jobs. Responsibilities.
Well, certainly a Friday night makes it a little bit easier. You get that kind of just come down after school for me, you know, just cruise down on 89 and 91 to CVU, which is kind of right in that.
That wouldn't be bad. That's true.
You know, Saturday makes it a little bit longer day for you. You got to either come back Friday night, so on and so forth. But regardless, that should be an interesting matchup as well. CVU going through that coaching change. You know, they've been a team, you know, you kind of wait for them to break through in D1. They were very successful in Division 2, you know, making it to state championship games and semifinals as high seeds. But they just haven't been able to break through, especially considering that's the biggest school in the state and one of the biggest programs in the state. A new coaching staff should make that a very interesting game. And certainly, hopefully by that time, if you're a CVU fan or just rooting for some consistency, potentially a playoff-type matchup for both teams.
All right, and here we certainly, not to editorialize too much, maybe a friendlier place to play here with the new regime. All right, here we get to go. Here the second half. It's going to be BFA kicking off from our left over to the Tigers on our right. It's Mark Connor setting it up. A little short, a little dribbler. It's going to get caught up and right in the middle of the field there. Might be Brady LaRocque on that. We'll see who that was. And the Middlebury Tigers are going to take over at about the 36.5 yard line. And yes, I think that was Brady.
The ball for Middlebury.
All right, for the Tigers, they're taking over here to start the third quarter, leading by a score of 22-7, a result of two rushing touchdowns and one fantastic return. All right. And it's Gordon under center. He's got Kaufman in motion, and he hands it off up the middle. Fisher with a huge hole up the middle there, able to run up to the 45. Didn't even have to do a lot. What a job by the left side of the offensive line.
And this is what we talked about a little bit. This is a big, hefty, strong offensive line here for the Tigers. They just open that hole up, and Corlett Fisher, who's kind of deceptively fast for his size, really hits that one hard and hits that all the way, you know, really gets touched before he gets 8, 7, 8 yards on that play.
And it's Gordon under center, handed off to Fisher again. Why not? And he's just busted through holes. This time he's carried three people on his back as he struggles forward and gets all the way to the Bob White 40.
About a 17-yard gain right there, and about probably good 10 yards of it was with a man on his back. And that is just being able to chop your feet. Never let your feet stop moving. Great lower body strength from Corlin Fisher. And that's how he's able to, anytime he gets hit, he's going to get 2 or 3 yards almost guaranteed after contact because of how lower body strength is.
And here it is. Looks like going to Fisher again, this time on the right side. Why not plow it forward, this time getting another 7, maybe 8.
And they're really opening up the holes right now, and a lot of arm tackles are trying to be made from BFA. And Corlin Fisher, because he's a little bit shorter, about 5'7", maybe 5'6", he's able to be lower than those arm tackles. Those arm tackles are basically just bouncing right off of his chest or his shoulder pads, and that's why he's able to break a couple tackles and get free, because no one's squaring him up and trying to match his power with some of their own.
He heard he didn't have his normal average. Now he's averaging 7 yards a carry over the last three. And why not? Hand it to him again. Testing the right side. Not getting a lot there. Pretty much getting back. But may have picked up the first down, and he did.
And that's a great job there. Eddie Brandon breaks through for the Bob Whites on the defensive side. A great little bit of a sidestep from Corlin Fisher gets him through. He's going to get hit again by Austin Goodoo, but he does a great job of breaking through from that first guy, from Brandon, who would have stopped that for maybe a yard loss if maybe back to the line of scrimmage. Now it's going to be third and short, and I'm expecting it right back up the gut to Corlin Fisher.
And it's Gordon. He's got Kaufman in motion. This time it's Kaufman going right up the gut, getting a nice hole there open by the center of the line. Trey just kind of puts his hands down, head down, and he picks up about 5 yards.
It's a great iso call. One thing that we're seeing out of Trey Kaufman a lot more in this game that we didn't see in week one is he's running with a lot more explosiveness. He's that tall, lanky, athletic ability to break free with long runs and speed. We didn't see that. He was a little tentative in the week one. This week, a lot of strength up the gut, a lot of hard runs. He's running top speed as soon as he hits the ball rather than waiting to kind of get to the next level before he breaks free.
First and 10 for the Tigers at about the 25-yard line. 10-10 left to go in the third quarter. Tigers leading 20-7. And it's Gordon rolling out to his left side. He's got a man wide open in the end zone. And it's touchdown. That one looked pretty nice. Brady Luck there on the touchdown for the Tigers. There is a flag down in the backfield.
The flag came down after the play. I think it might be an unsportsmanlike conduct on Middlebury, but this should still be a touchdown if this is after the play.
And that was about a 25-yard pass there.
And it appears to be against Middlebury.
We'll see, but as you say, people are going, "Ah."
Well, I'm not, it could have been.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming back.
It could have been, the flag could have been thrown after the play. The penalty still could have taken place during the play. And take away, they're going to lose this one as the call is about to come in.
The ball downfield on the offense. First down.
So an eligible receiver downfield, so an offensive lineman who snuck downfield farther than he was allowed. The positive from that play, that was a beautiful ball from Oakley Gorder on a point to Brady LaRocque downfield. So this is a passing game that we talked about, has a chance to kind of break free. I think it still can, and that's just kind of that first glimpse of it.
Gordon under center here. He's got Abdul Sader in motion. And this time he hands it off to Kaufman, who gets snuffed out of the backfield by a defensive lineman. Big Caleb Phelps brings it down for a loss of a couple.
Tiger football brought to you by J.P. Greer and Sons Concrete. Always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363. J.P. Greer and Sons at 388-6363. That's kind of the first time we've seen the counterplay not work right now for Middlebury Tigers. I don't expect them to shy away from it, but good now adjustments on the BFA defensive side of the ball.
Second and 18 here for the Tigers. They throw it back to Ali, who gets on the right side. He's kind of tipping towards the sideline, turns it upfield right along it. He's got a hole, but it looks like he stepped out of bounds at about the 30, I'm going to say.
That's a play.
28.
We haven't seen a lot of many tosses right now for Middlebury. They haven't tried to get to the outside, and I think that's a little bit of a product of them being strong up the gut, and also them not having that same athleticism and speed that last couple of years have had. But the thing is, a great coaching ability right now from this team is that they're knowing what they're strong at, and they're taking advantage. And although they don't get a lot there on that toss the outside, a lot of counters and a lot of powers have been working for them. So I don't think they had too much problem not getting to the edge.
Two wide receivers this time, and it's Gordon rolling left, looking for wide receivers. He's got people on multiple levels, and he's able to hit Cortland Fisher really after about a four-yard gain there.
And that's a smart play. Oakley going to look to try to go deep there downfield. He had Nick Coe. He was looking for Nick Coe downfield running the flag route. And that's a smart play. He says, all right, we're just going to go for the fourth down, see what we can do, and goes underneath. It's a smart play from quarterback Oakley Gordon.
And it was a four-yard gain. It's going to be fourth and 10 for the Tigers from the Bob White 25. And it's Gordon underneath. He's got Ali in motion. And he takes the ball. He rolls to his right. He's looking. He's got people on multiple levels. Throws it out there right through the fingertips of Mesner, I believe, over there on that far side. Yes, it was Chase Mesner almost able to bring it in. But St. Albans is going to be able to take it over on downs, trailing by a score of 7-20, 8:35 left to go in the third quarter.
Tiger Football brought to you by Dell Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And that's a defensive stand right now for BFA. You take it. You didn't really win it. You get lucky that a penalty brings back a touchdown, but you take it. You're going to say, hey, we got a little lucky. Let's go out there and try to capitalize on it. If they're unable to capitalize, I think that's going to kind of signal what the rest of the second half is going to look like.
And it's an I formation here with a fullback and a running back, and it goes back to, and nothing there. Tigers get in and absolutely disrupt it, knocking the fullback out of the way and bringing down Xavier Pigeon.
New look. We haven't seen the I formation so far to this game in BFA. Trying to find something to get themselves going because really nothing has been working for them.
And Pigeon, that's three attempts for 2 yards here. But the fullback didn't really exactly blow anything up on that play. And now, sure enough, they've gone back to a double wing here with one wide receiver over to the left side. They've got Connor under center. Connor's calling out the numbers. He's got Pigeon moving. He throws it out to Pigeon. And Pigeon heads towards the left sideline, has a nice hold there, able to cut back inside, find a running lane, and picks up about 7 yards.
Second time they've gone to that speed toss to the left side. This one a little bit more success, but again, they had to make a move. I don't think that was Clark downfield, but they had to make a move there as soon as they caught the ball. And that's kind of something that the Tigers are doing a great job of, not allowing that speed sweep. Something that has had a little bit of success for BFA hasn't been effective at all this week.
And it's third and four for the Bob Whites. 7:24 remaining in the third, down by 7-20. And it's Pigeon in motion, and it's up the middle to the fullback. He's cut it out to the right. It's a big hole there on the right. Able to pick up some space. Really, it was more just space than a hole over on the right side. It was able to pick up some yardage and a first down for the Bob Whites.
And that's Nate Parody. We haven't seen a lot of him. And last week, he had a pretty good game at 51 yards for the Bob Whites. We haven't seen a lot of touches from him this week as they've been trying to go to Rolo and Clark. I'd like to see a little bit more of him. He has shown that capability to be a consistent ball carrier. They just haven't given him the opportunity to do so.
As you say, that's only his second chance there. And it's a throw out to the flat. And, of course, it is to number 19. He's cutting up the right side, gets a few yards. They've got it out to about the 46. Clark with a gain of about 7 yards on the play.
Now, this is what we talked about. This is a drive that BFA really needs. They need to be productive. They need to go out and make something happen. You get lucky that a penalty pulls back a Tiger touchdown. Now you got to go out. You got to make that pay. You got to make the Tigers pay for a mistake. If you don't do that, that's kind of where you're going to start losing football games. They got to make a pay. They got to take advantage of opportunities that are presented. This is a drive that's turning into that kind of success.
And it's second and three for the Bob Whites. One receiver on each side, and it's a drop back pass. He's going high up off the man's fingertips. What a waste an opportunity there for the Bob Whites. It fell off the hands of Alec Letourneau right after it fell off the defensive back figures for the Tigers.
That's a tough break if you're Middlebury, if you're BFA. Ali Abdul-Slater does a good job on that side going back, and the tip, you know, never want to tip the ball up, and if Letourneau had caught that, that would have been off to the races. Would have been a foot race between him and playside safety. Would have been Oakley Gordon. But they're starting to kind of get those cracks. We're starting to see some cracks right now in the Tiger defense, and BFA's got to take advantage of them right here.
And two wide receivers, two men in the backfield, and Connor under center. And there's movement on the right side of the offensive line, it looks like. We'll see what the call is here. Looked like the guard might have jumped. And do you think that is what they're going to call? And so they're walking back, and boy, for BFA, start, that's not pretty.
No, that's kind of two consecutive plays that really you take away this momentum that you've created for yourself. A third and three where you've been running the ball pretty effectively on the drive, where you've been able to get to the flats through the air. Now you kind of go for a third and eight, so no longer can you kind of pound the rock up the middle. Now you can't really go to the flats so much. You got to find a crossing route, maybe a post or flag route, just try to create something downfield past that first down.
As mark. You point out, it changes your play calling. We now have Merrill under center. This time, I'm not sure. They might say that it was the Bob Waits again movie. It looked like both sides kind of moved, but I think the Tigers might have moved in response to the offensive lineman of the Bob Waits. The wheels, after a tremendous beginning to this drive, the wheel are coming off the Bob White wagon.
And just undisciplined football right now. You haven't had a lot of success, and as soon as you start to create some of that on your own, you're basically just throwing it all away with these penalties. And again, that's what I just mentioned was, you know, what team is going to be the one that takes advantage of the opportunities and the other team's mistakes? BFA had a shot to do that, and now that the Tigers are going to kind of are taking back that opportunity from them.
Two on the left, two on the right, one in the backfield for the Bob Whites. Merrill's calling it out from a shotgun position. He gets the snap. He looks on his left the entire time. He underthrew his man. He had shot a slant coming across. It was Owen Chaffee, and absolutely nothing happened there for them. So for the Bob Whites, things that had been going well, now it's going to be 4th and 13 and a really wasted possession.
Maybe Chaffee, you'd like to see him attack that ball a little bit more through the air. He kind of settled down, realizing it might be short. If you make a diving attempt, you make that catch, it might be a 4th and 1 if he doesn't even get to the first down mark. It's kind of, you'd like to see him make a little bit harder attempt for that ball.
And it's going to be a punt here. We have Connor way back, getting ready for about the 24, ready to punt it off here. And he gets it. He gets it away cleanly. And it's a nice punt again over the punt returner's heads. Gordon's letting it bounce. This is going to work out pretty well, at least for the moment, for the Bob Whites. But Gordon turns it upfield. He's got it on the left way. Go 25, 30, gets taken down at the 31-yard line. Given where he picked it up, Marshall, that was a useful return.
It was, but this is probably going to be a block in the back on Middlebury downfield. And I'm not sure if the defender waited for the Bob Whites player to turn his shoulders, but I think this is probably going to be a block in the back, and that's going to basically do for naught, which was a very good return from Oakley Gordon.
You know, I have to say, just thinking about that last drive, one thing I've always said is what really works in the Tigers' favorite defense is if you make another team have to string together a bunch of plays, you know, a group of high school football players, and you got that many moving pieces on a field, that many independent variables,
yep.
Too many plays, you really, the chances of making those mental errors just go up with every play once you get past 5-6 plays in any particular drive.
And that's kind of a product of early season, you know, you haven't really created that kind of strength and mental fortitude that they need. That's not either team, that's both teams at this point. I think by the end of the season, you start seeing those 10-play drives working more effectively. But you're right. When you kind of roll the dice, say, okay, you want to do 10 plays in a row and be successful, go ahead, try it. We'll see if you actually get it done. And that's kind of what Middlebury's rolling the dice on right now. They've been successful in this game.
And the Tigers have two receivers here on the left side, but they go up the middle again here. It's Fisher carrying the ball once again. Gets it out to the 12-yard, maybe 13-yard line. Gain of 4 on that run.
And again, no capability right now from BFA Bob Whites to stop Corlin Fisher upon first man hit. No guy I've seen come in and make a one-on-one tackle against Corlin Fisher. If you're the Bob Whites, you have to see some type of play be made. Otherwise, Middlebury's going to keep going to him, and he's going to continue to get 3 to 4 yards a pop, and he's going to himself make a 10-play drive.
And Gordon's under center. Looks like he heads it around now to Nemo. Comes popping up the middle. Manages to shrug the man off. Powering through people. Keeps churning. People hanging on his back. Gets all the way out to the 30-yard line. But an excellent run. 18-yard run for Jerry Nemo.
Jerry Nemo runs almost like a pinball machine. He gets hit, and he doesn't go down. He just basically just keeps going. He's going to use your momentum that you hit him with to keep on going downfield. He keeps his feet going. He's so upright that, you know, when you try to hit him low, he kind of has the strength to keep going. That lower body strength. That's that same run. He gets hit up high. Everyone's trying to clean his clock because he runs so high. He's got such lower body strength. He's able to keep himself upright and keep the run going.
And it's Gordon again handing up to Fisher in the middle, and Fisher's busted through tackles this time. It's his turn with the line, opening up some holes. He's got up to the 42. The Middlebury Tiger offense with a new first down, they're just rolling.
Now it's fun to watch this guy because every time they get the ball, and the Corlin Fisher journey, you know, he's kind of, you know, in particular, but also every guy that gets the ball for the Tigers, their feet are moving almost faster than their body. So that when they get hit, their feet don't really realize they're going down while their nose is going straight into the dirt. And that's how you get an extra 2 or 3 yards per carry.
And it's Gordon takes it again. He keeps it himself this time. He's got Ryan open downfield. We're going to see whether there's pass interference on that. He had Noah Rolo up in his face. He was doing that. But apparently the officials feel that he probably had his head turned around okay, at least for most of that play. Ryan had to go up and try to pluck it over him.
Yeah, ball was thrown a little bit behind Sawyer Ryan, who couldn't pull the brake pedal and try to get back for that ball. You like to see that ball a little bit out in front, but great coverage from Noah Rolo, because at one point, Sawyer Ryan was wide open downfield, had Oakley Gordon led him to the right way. Rolo does a great job catching up and able to get in the face of Sawyer Ryan. It does get his head around, so that's good no call there on the pass interference.
About 4 minutes left to go. Bob White's trailing 7-20. Tigers with the ball, and it's a big hole on the left side here for Trey Kaufman, but there is some hanky down on the ground. Trey stumbles all the way to the 40. We're going to see whether or not I think it's coming back. And judging by the Tigers coach's reaction, that one's coming back. Real nice run for sure, though, for Trey Kaufman, who's really been able to work that left side of the line for some nice yardage tonight.
You're going to hear the coaching staff preaching, hey, we've been working on that play all week. So a little breakdown there on the edge, the holding call. I didn't see the number there, but a holding call on the outside edge there on the block. But Trey Kaufman, what you take from that drive from that play was Trey Kaufman does a great job both using his elusiveness and uses the cut, you know, hard one-cut runs, as well as the strength there at the end. He knows, hey, I'm not going to break this tackle. I'm just going to put my shoulder pads down. I'm going to run right through you. And, you know, you lose 5 yards there or 10 yards on that holding call. Could have been about a 15, 20-yard run the other way. So you try to take whatever you can out of it, but that's a tough break again. Who's going to make the bigger mistake at the wrong time right now?
Tigers are 2nd and 20 from their own 32. It's Gordon rolling out to his right. He's got a man open downfield. It's Mesner, grabs it at about the 47 and then gets dragged out at the other 49. They have moved into Bob White territory. Very, very close, but a little shy of the first down.
Oakley Gordon and these last couple passing plays that they have run, even going back to the touchdown was called back. He's doing a great job setting his feet before he throws the football. Doing a great job getting in the pocket, setting his feet, and looking downfield to see who he wants to go to.
Nice 17-yard pickup there, maybe 18-yard pickup for Mesner from Gordon. And it's Gordon under center again, calling it out. And why not? Give it up the middle to Fisher. Gets hit, but then manages to make it forward. I do think this is going to be a first down for the Tigers.
And Cortland Fisher was hit very hard by Eddie Brandon behind the line of scrimmage. But again, Cortland Fisher, every time he's getting hit, one man has not been able to bring him down if he's not already falling down. He's going to meet every guy head on. And again, he meets Brandon right in the backfield, and he has the strength and the capability to get around Brandon, hits him hard, takes a little spin to the inside, and breaks free of that tackle. If the BFA Bobway is planning on stopping Fisher, it's going to mean one guy has to be able to tackle him one-on-one, and they have not been able to do it, and they haven't shown signs of doing that either.
Tigers are about 2 inches short here. Actually, the guy's holding up his hands much farther apart than it actually is. I can say I'm completely lined up with the ball. It's about 2 inches. So knowing the Tigers here, 4th and about 2 inches. I think we know what they're going to do at that point. As you say on that play, though, I thought Fisher was held up. I mean, he got hit a good 2 yards back and really able to power himself forward. Tigers, no surprise here. They're going to come up to the line of scrimmage with everybody in, even with Chase Mesner up on the line.
Going to be a timeout here from the Tigers to talk this one over. Tiger football brought to you by Vermont Field Sports for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns on Route 7 in Middlebury. That's Vermont Field Sports. This is going to be an interesting call. Now, it's a big down, especially if you're BFA, because if Middlebury can get this first and start creating for themselves, it'll be that example of making a mistake but overcoming it. That holding penalty, first off, takes back a run that would have given the Tigers the ball, maybe the 36 going in. Instead, they got 2nd down and 20. Cortland Fisher connects, I believe it was Chase Mesner, for about 16, 17 yards, and then the Cortland Fisher run of the guy that gives us his 4th and inches, they're kind of putting themselves in tough situations, but they're making up for their mistakes, and they're playing well despite their mistakes. They're coming up and doing something. Now the Tigers are going to come out and punt, which is an interesting decision, and if I'm BFA, you're getting a little lucky. Wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at a fake for the Tigers, though. But if you're BFA and this ends up being a punt, you're going to be very lucky that you're going to survive this drive.
And if you're BFA, and let's say you do get this ball back right now one way or the other, 2:45 left to go in this game, even though you haven't put much together, you're certainly not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. and the ball goes back. It is to Gordon. He is going to put it up. He is going to get it away, but it's going to be a useful punt for the Tigers. It's going to die at about the 16-yard line. So it will be the BFA Bobwhites taking over. 2:36 left to go in the second quarter. Tigers are leading by a score of 20-7. So some offensive movement in this third quarter. It has pretty much been, with a few exceptions, Cortland Fisher early and often. Besides an 18-yard run by Jerry Nemo, Cortland's now gotten up to a total of 82 yards so far this game.
And he's that bruising back that the Tigers need and that the Tigers will turn to as this game goes on. And Tiger Football brought to you by the A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol. Sustainable timber harvesting and SFA certified. That's the A. Johnson Lumber Company.
All right, and so here come the Bobwhites. You've got Connor under center. He's got one wide receiver to the right. He's got one man in the backfield. That goes to the man in the backfield, tries to try up the middle of the field. Rollo carrying it, really gaining maybe about 2 yards.
LeBurge and company on the side.
Gabe LeBurge is on the tackle with some other Tigers there.
We'll see what the BFA Bobs, they have a good possession on the last drive, start shooting themselves in the back of the foot there on the two false starts that sent a 3rd and 2 to a 3rd and 12. Can you take a little positives from that? They were able to get the pass game going again through the flats, something I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to here, but they've also been able to get a little speed rush going, something trying to take advantage of a little bit of a speed advantage over the Tigers right now.
Back into a double wing with one wide receiver over to the left, and it looked like it was going to go up the middle, but it's not. It's being kept by Connor, who's going up the left sideline, carries it himself for a gain of about 6 yards, eventually brought over on the far sideline.
That was a great play. I believe that was Oakley Gordon. It might have been Andrew Gleason coming up, hitting Mark Connor very hard as he went down. Gets about 6 yards. So it's going to be 3rd and manageable now for the Bobwhites. And that's a good play. They try to take advantage. They've been going up the middle. Tigers really haven't seen a QB keep all game.
Tigers really bit on that one.
They did, exactly. They weren't expecting something to go back out because they haven't seen it yet. And Mark Connor does a good job of getting the outside, uses his speed to try to get something. Now you got a 3rd and manageable rather than a 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7.
Two wide receivers and two running backs here. And it goes up the middle with a fullback for the Bobwhites, powering through the middle of the line. We'll pick that number up in a second. I do think he's going to have a first down here for the Bobwhites.
That might have been Nate Parody up the gut there for BFA. And that's the guy they've gone to. Excuse me, that was Coffee. So they go to a guy that that gave them some good yards. They want to go with some strong runs up the gut right now and try to wear down this Tiger defensive front.
And so stringing it together a little bit, it is going to be a first down, but only about a minute left to go in this third quarter. The Bobwhites are trying to get back on the board and jump back, make this game close. They're trailing by a score of 7-20. And they're coming up to the line with Connor coming up under center. They've got two running backs, two wide receivers. And Connor calling back. He's dropping back, look to pass, and he's looking downfield. He'll be lucky if this one isn't picked. And it was not picked. It was flagged down on the play. Who had the opportunity there?
Like I think that might have been Liam Smith, far side.
Gotcha.
And I think the Tigers kind of got lucky there. Looked like a little hand contact downfield between the defender and the BFA wide receiver. I didn't catch the number for the receiver. But that's, you take a shot like that, you like that a little bit underthrown, but now you got a holding penalty that's going to, in all likelihood, bring this back to a second, probably a 1st and 20. And now you really are in a tough situation. You were able to survive that first penalty, or the first, you know, non-existent play on the first drive, first possession, excuse me. Now you got to do it again. And you're kind of asking a lot of this team that hasn't proven they can make up for the mistakes.
As of right now, Mark Connor, who's gotten 5 completions, all to Jared Clark for a total of 32 yards, he's shown a propensity as things have gone on to kind of just toss it up and hope
really
something
has.
Happens.
And that's kind of your typical, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the difference between a great and a good high school quarterback is which guy's going to look off the defender and which guy's just going to go right back to him.
He's got one wide receiver on the left. He's got a man covering in motion. And he hands up the middle, and it's contested the right side is Noah Rollo. He doesn't get a whole lot there.
Try to go with the counter there if you're BFA, unable to do so. And that's something that hasn't really worked for them all that much all week, or excuse me, all game. And now you try to go back to a Rollo who went for that big game last week, 116. A lot of that came on one play, but they just haven't been able to get him going today.
And it's the end of the third quarter. The Middlebury Tigers are leading the BFA Bobwhites by a score of 20-7. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Hi, Bob. You all set for archery season?
I think so.
That means you're probably not. Better bring in that bow for a tune-up.
Where should I go?
I go to Vermont Field Sports on Route 7 in Middlebury. I was in there, and you wouldn't believe everything they have for archery season.
What do they have?
Everything for that big catch. A full selection of arrows, accessories, everything we need. Now you have to check it out.
All right, let's take it right down. Hey, Bob, did you smell that?
Yeah, I thought you smelled a little funny.
I thought it was your shoes.
Better pick up some cover scent. The deer would smell you a mile away.
Well, then we better pick some up.
It's never too late to check out the huge selection of guns and rifles, new and used, while we're there. Vermont Field Sports, for everything you'll need to bring home that trophy deer. Vermont Field Sports, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
Offering the finest furniture, housewares, home accessories, lighting, and bedding, Woodware is a family-owned business located just south of Middlebury on Route 7. Their family provides friendly, knowledgeable, no-pressure assistance and a laid-back atmosphere with name brands you know for quality. When you call or stop in, you're dealing with one of the owners, so you're in good hands at Woodware. Their top-quality furnishings and other items for your home are backed by a customer's always-right guaranteed. Plus, they deliver anywhere in Vermont and provide white-glove delivery service anywhere in the country. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury.
This is Middlebury Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK.
And as we start the fourth quarter here, it is second and 20 for the Bob Whites, trailing by a score of 7-20. And they're coming in one, still only one wide receiver out to the left. It's Connor, and he's headed out to his fullback, is powering up the middle, gaining some ground there, gaining some yards. And he's going to pop up after gaining about six there.
Tiger Football brought to you by the Monument Farms of Weybridge. Join the movement and support local farms, Monument Farms.
All on the 20.
And you take it back. It's only about a three-yard gain there.
You get a little something, but it's tough if you're BFA because you need so much at this point because of that holding penalty taken back. What would have been a second of manageable, now you're only back to a second and 20. Now third and 15, third and 18.
Third and 18, and his swing out to the left side here. Got some room and got a nice hole. Shedding people down. Getting driven out at the 36-yard line was Noah Rolo. Very nice job there by BFA.
And that's a guy, Noah Rolo, like we talked about, he's been a guy that last week was the go-to man on the ground. You need to try to get him the ball. Let him do something for this football team. That's a great job to get him the ball in space immediately rather than put that ball in his hands in the backfield and now put it through the air. Let him try to do some work in open space. He does a great job of breaking a couple arm tackles and getting down close to the first. And now if you're BFA, you're down by two possessions, 11:15 left in the fourth. You haven't really proven that your offense can get you long drives. This might be a situation if they don't get it to go for it, saying, hey, we haven't been able to score. We haven't been able to do much on offense. We've got this opportunity. We've got a little momentum. Let's go and try to take advantage of it.
Boy, you'd almost think you'd have to just the way things are going. Let's see what happens here. It's a little hard to tell for us to tell where it is relative to the ball. It is going to be a first down for the Bob Whites. Put that into context, that was the first catch by a receiver other than Jared Clark. So Noah Rolo finally getting on the board with that 11-yard reception.
Tiger Football brought to you by the Hughes Farm Supply of Heart and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Hughes family of Bridport.
And so the Bob White's talking it over. They're in a huddle here, getting that play in. 11:16 left to go in the game. Tigers are leading by a score of 20-7, but the Bob Whites are on the move. The Bob Whites are on their own 38-yard line, first and 10. Here comes Connor under center. He has no wide receivers. Full house backfield. He goes back, and he hands it back to running back. Big hole right up the middle. He's taking people. Nice spring. He ends up the other side of the field, the 46-yard line of the Tigers. That was quite a run. Gain of about 16 yards.
And that's what the Bob Whites have basically been waiting from Noah Rolo. He's got that speed. He's got that quickness, that quick one-cut ability, and that's what he does right there. And they're going right back to him here up the gut.
And there he goes, plowing, as you say, right up the middle. He's picking up some yardage now. He's gotten back to about the 38. So they're making some hay here. That's an 8-yard game.
And they're going to the hurry-up offense here for BFA. Some they've been huddling up all game. They're trying to go hurry up, take advantage of what they're doing, and out goes Rolo.
They take him out for Nate Parody here. And sure enough, they give it to Parody. He's got a hole on the right side. He's going out. Nemo tries to bring him down. He's unable to. That's going to be a first down over at the far sideline. And right now, with the ball at about the 31, they're moving a little bit. 7-yard gain there for Parody.
And finally getting a little bit of action here for the BFA Bobcats. Going to that hurry-up offensive look. Kind of going back to that same play, that halfback dive up the middle. Let's see if they go back to it again. Probably got a play in from the sideline was Connor on that one, so we'll see something different here.
And so Connor going back to Parody again up the middle. This time snuffed out fairly immediately. He may have gotten about 2 yards on that.
And now that's one thing about if you're a hurry up, if you go to the hurry up offense and you're not a hurry up offense team, you don't have that capability of huddling up. It looks like they're going to be hurrying up again. They're going to huddle up. But when you're a huddle offense and now you start going to the hurry up, you kind of are limited because all you can do is run that same play because you're not used to having to send signs and send calls in. And Middlebury finally stops them from doing that. They get that 2 yard gain after giving up a 16, an 8, a 7. You stop for 2. Now you kind of make them huddle up and go back to the drawing board.
And they're coming again. Connor under center going back to that middle again. And a nice job evading the man and running to the right line. Hey, right side of the line. Going out of bounds. Rollo with a new first down. He started on the 30. He ended up at about the 19 or so.
And that was a great counter play there from Rollo. See the play side counter, nothing really working because of great movement from the Tiger defensive line who follow the pulling men. So he just cuts right back to where where he has no blockers. He springs one tackle and is able to bounce out. Gets about maybe 9 or 10 yards on that. And now this BFA offense starts to work.
First and 10 from the 20. Walking their way down the field here. Merrill coming up under. Let's see what he got. Connery coming up under. He hands it off again. This time snuffed right out on the line of scrimmage.
And that was going to be Sawyer Ryan coming up from the linebacker spot. Does a great job. Comes in unblocked. He's going to hit Rollo hard at the line of scrimmage and hits him low. Takes out the legs. Wraps up the legs and makes sure that if Rollo wants to keep chopping him, he's not going to get anywhere. Great play by this Middlebury defense. You give up that 2 yard run. Then you give up that run to Rollo. But then you come back to this one. No gain. You start to buckle down. You say, okay, bend, don't break. If they want to get this far and not score, I'm fine with that, and that's what this Tiger defense mentality is right now.
And now it's going to be second and 10. Time's starting to tick away a little bit, and it's going to be a throw out on the left side. He's got some space, but a failed block there on the outside. What could have been something for the Bob Whites really only resulted in about a 4 yard pass play for Jared Clark.
And you go back to that old, strong, reliable Jared Clark. Speed, he's got a lot of speed on the edge, but he's unable to because of that missed block. It's a great play from Ali Abdul Sater to come up, make the play, forces Jared Clark to slow down a little bit and doesn't let him really develop the play in front of him.
Third and 5, 8:43 left to go in the game. Tigers leading 20-7. Bob White's on the move, but this is going to be a pretty important pair of plays for them, the third and fourth down. Your third and 5, ball on the 15. And quarterback Sutter Center, he calls for it. He says out, it's going to be probably movement on the Bob Whites here. Again, mistakes, rearing their... Nope, timeout. We take that back. I jumped ahead of myself.
Tiger football brought to you by Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the Coop Chicks for all of your insurance needs. And that's an opportunity here for BFA. In all likelihood, this is four down territory. You haven't proven that you can put together a long offensive drive until right now. You're down by 13. You've got an opportunity. If you can score here, your defense can hold, because your defense has played pretty good football. You take away that one long punt return, and this is just a 6-point, 7-point game, depending on the extra point. So this is an opportunity for BFA. If they can go in, they can punch something in to really make this interesting and kind of get the confidence that their offense hasn't been working all day, except for right now. You got to take advantage of that.
As the Tigers are substituting a little bit here, as it looks a little hot, a couple people taking off their helmets out of the field. We just had a substitution. Patrick Messenger and Nick Beauchamp have been substituting it for each other a little bit on the defensive line, giving each other some breathers. Bruce Wright had his helmet off, looking like just trying to cool down out there. They've been out there for a while, this Tiger D has. All right, and here they come to the line. We've got Connor. This time he is under center with two running backs, and this time he keeps it himself, running out to the right side. But this was Bruce Wright, who we had mentioned before, He brings it down. Nice sack there by Bruce Wright.
And that's what you want to see out of your captain. Third and five. You know this is four down territory. Come up and make a play. And Bruce Wright does that. Doesn't buy the play at your fake. Immediately hops on the hip there of Mark Connor. And Mark Connor's going to drag him for a couple feet. But you're not losing Bruce Wright. Bruce Wright, big strong kid. He's going to bring you down if he gets your paws on him. And he does a great job. Now this is not a fourth minute. If you lose nothing or if you get back to the line of scrimmage, fourth and five, that's manageable. Now you know you got to go through the air if you're this Tiger defense. You just sit at that 10-yard marker. You say, throw it. We're not letting you get it.
And a fourth and 10. They throw it down. Intercepted. Goodness gracious, that's Sawyer Ryan taking off like a shot after he intercepted that, getting driven down out by the 29. But Sawyer Ryan, he's had a nice drive here at the end of this. Excellent work there by Sawyer.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like Mark Connor again looked for Jared Clark there in the middle. And that's not, it's not necessarily Sawyer Ryan thing. He's probably going to Clark here. It's Sawyer Ryan saying, I'm dropping it to zone coverage. I'm going hook to curl. If anything's coming here, this is coming right to me. He's your tight end. You know he's got good hands. But that's a great job to drop back and say, hey, you want to throw it for a first down. I know you got to do it. Kind of come right at me. You want 10 yards. I'm going to sit right at that 10-yard mark. The ball's coming right here, right now. That's a great, great play from Sawyer Ryan.
And the Tigers with four wide receivers and one man in the backfield. Gordon under center. Keeps it himself, looking for a hole. Able to get that hole. Big hole up the middle. Offensive line, open it up. Beauchamp looked like you blocked it for him. Gordon is down, however, as the Tigers come out here. Nope, pop back up. There you go. A little bit of scare for the Tiger faithful. But Gordon's popped back up. Gordon with about a 14-yard gain on that play, 13-yard gain.
Great run there from Oakley Gordon, a little QB ISO play. Nice job. He hits that hole hard and runs hard. Looks maybe an ankle injury of some kind, but he seems to be all right. He's running away from Sayre, the trainer, so I would assume he's going right back in this next play. Play was dead. Called dead because of the injury, so he has to come out regardless.
Andrew Gleason was the JV quarterback last year, in for his first snap as varsity quarterback. And Andrew takes it, and it looks like he hands it off the middle to, and what's happening there? Sorry, I got a little lost. I think everyone did. It looked like the play just kind of stopped. It looked like the Bob Whites had the running back stacked up, and no one actually stopped the play.
Now, this is, they're going to rule a fumble on the play picked up by BFA. Now, here's the problem, though. Earlier in the game, the refs made the right call. Forward progress was stopped, and they ruled that when BFA took the ball from Corlin Fisher on that time, that when they took it back the other way, play was stopped, play was dead, forward progress had been negated. That happened right there. Corlin Fisher was getting driven backwards. He's not making any forward progress. The play should have been dead. Coach Smith is live on the sideline right now. He should be. That is a busted call right there from the umpire staff.
And it was Parker Gross on the fumble, but he's going to get those two. And it's almost a sack, but no, it gets out to the wide receiver who makes up some yards. It was Brady LaRocque getting in on Connor's back, but he was able to get it over to Jared Clark, and Clark was able to make him about 3 yards there on the reception.
This is the drive. You get stuffed out last play by BFA, but you're running out of time. You got 6:40 left here in the fourth. You got second and seven. Ball on the Tiger 35-yard line. You got to go in. You got to score on this drive. Otherwise, you're going to put your defense and really the entire football team in a tough situation as the clock continues to wind down.
And so it's Connor now. He is back in the shotgun. He gets it. He's rolling over to his left. He looks downfield. He's got a man waiting for him. Oakley Gordon's the one waiting for him. He picks it off. He's back in the middle of the field. It's an interception for Oakley. Apparently he's not too beat up from that last play. He returns it about 5 yards.
Big players going to make big plays at big times. He knows his team needs something big. You have a tough turnover, a tough play where the call just doesn't go your way. That's a heads-up play by Oakley Gordon. Great job to play in the secondary. Don't let anyone behind you bait Mark Connor into a deep ball like he just does, knowing they need a touchdown immediately. Great play there from Oakley Gordon. And now's an opportunity to kind of kill the clock as BFA only has two timeouts now with 6:13 left. An opportunity. You string together a couple first downs, start putting this game away.
And as so Gordon comes up to the line, he's just got his three running backs, no receivers. Ali going into motion. And it's a hand up the middle to the fullback. Why not? Really only gain of about two, maybe three there. Coming up the middle for the fullback, who was Fisher back in the game for the Tigers.
go to what's been worked for. You get 2 yards, but you kind of, again, you're going to kind of extend this game. Now, they're going hurry up. They're not huddling up, but they're also taking their time with these play calls coming in. And so you like to see that as the Tigers are going to start to wind that clock down a little bit, try to get it up the gut, try to work this for a couple first downs.
5:46 on the clock. Tigers up 20-7. It's Gordon rolling back. He's getting sacked. Helmet pops off. He got sacked with a pretty decent loss there. Lost about 8 yards on the play there.
Hale on the stop.
Nick Hale on the sack.
Really, this should be... Okay, and Oakland Gordon is going to have to come out. His helmet popped off, and since it wasn't due to a penalty, Oakland Gordon has to come off for one play, a rule that started about 3-4 years ago in college and high school football, maybe even in professional leagues as well. So here's an opportunity. You're the defense. You're the BFA Bobbies. You got about third. They're calling a 16 on the board. I call it closer to 17 or 18. This is an opportunity again. You've avoided the bullet for so long. At one point, at some point in this game, the bullet's going to hit somebody, and that's going to be the big question now. Is it looks like Kate Dennis Smith is going to run this clock down until he's out of time on the play clocks. He's got Andrew Gleason standing right next to him. Batcher jump goes up, timeout comes out.
And Tigers call it, as you say. It's 4:45 left to go in the fourth quarter. Tigers leading by a score of 20-7.
And Tiger football brought to you by Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock.
Again, that's the
Tigers are talking it over fairly quickly here.
Police their area before they leave tonight.
And so they're talking it out. One would expect probably a pretty conservative play call here for the Tigers.
You would expect so. An interception this far back in your own territory could really hurt you. You don't need the first down. You don't need the 16, 17 yards that you need for the first. As far as, you know, this isn't your game-winning drive type of scenario. So won't be surprised to see maybe an option either way from the Tigers here. Try to make sure that clock keeps running so that if BFA wants to use a timeout, they only have one left, or they'll just have to let that clock run down a little bit further towards the three zeros.
And it is Gleason in at quarterback. He's got four wide receivers, but Gordon is standing with his helmet on the sideline, so clearly none too worse for the wear. So Gleason under center goes back and he hands it to Fisher, who goes over to the left side. Not much room there, kind of getting strung out, maybe picking up a couple yards.
So now you get just about nothing, maybe a yard at the most there on that carry. But this clock continues to run. So that play started at 4:44. And in all likelihood, this ball is going to be punted till maybe the 4:11 mark. Is it that 4:18, maybe even below that? So you take off 35, 40 seconds for one play on no yard. You'll take that right now if you're the Tigers. You're trying to get that clock down to zeros.
And there's just a single punt returner back for the Bob Whites. And Gordon with an... a decent punt, but it's bouncing in a nice way for the Tigers, really rolling away from the returner, and it's going to die at the 44 of the Bob Whites.
Tiger football brought to you by McIntyre Services in Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years at McIntyre Services. Now, here's the thing right now. BFA, any returner they sent back there, that last man was Nate Parody. For the majority of the game, it's been Noah Rolo. But none of these guys, you got to play in at least as if Oakley Gordon was an NFL punter. And they're about 45 yards downfield. They only need to be about 30, and it's not saying anything away from Oakley Gordon. It's just that he's not punting it that far today. He's fine with kind of squib punts and letting it roll. If you're the Bob Whites, you got to come up and be a little more aggressive. Try to make a play on that rather than just saying, okay, at least we get the ball back.
And it's one wide receiver now for the left for to the right for Connor. Connor's rolling back, looking downfield. He's got Tigers all over him, and that's Bruce Wright nailing him again, and the ball pops out, hops over to the right side of the field where it is covered by Tanner Chaffee.
They're going to rule him down on contact, and that's a good call. But now this clock continues to run. You're down to 3:35, and Bruce Wright again has been all over the field right now for the Middlebury Tigers. He has gotten a lot of penetration. He's making good plays on the defensive side of the ball, and that's going to be, you know, really the question mark, because if you're BFA, you're going to have to go to the air. So now the battle is going to become offensive line versus defensive line, and whoever gets through there first, whoever makes a stronger play is going to be able to win this football game.
And he's back, and he's throwing down the middle. Is the quarterback almost intercepted there, bounced off the receiver, then bounced off the ground. Nothing there for Connor, leading itself towards, it's going to be third and 17.
And that's a good work, though, by the offensive line. No penetration. They're able to set up a nice, clean pocket for Connor to throw out of. The problem is that the Tigers know you're going through the air, so they can sit back a little bit and sit in coverage and basically cover everything up. Again, you're going to have to go to the air again, so probably going to see the linebackers drop into coverage. Safety should sit right about at that first down marker.
And it's swinging over. It's got some lateral room, but nothing going upfield for number 19, Jared Clark. Clark was unable to do anything with it. And so for the Bob Whites, what you going to do?
Now, here's the thing. I don't mind not throwing the ball there. It's 3rd and 17, or 3rd and 15. Now it's going to be 4th and 17. They lost a couple yards. My problem with that play call wasn't the run. You don't need the 17 yards. You know this is 4-down territory. I would like to see a pass play, try to get 6 or 7 yards to create a 4th and manageable.
Instead, they go chance.
Exactly. You haven't proven that you can run the toss all game today. And that's what you go with and really the biggest down of the game for you. I would like them to see you go to something. Maybe get Jared Clark, if that's who you want to have the ball right now, get him in motion, hit him on a drag route. Like you've been doing in the flats all game, and you've been able to get 70 yards. They don't do it. They go to a run. That's a question mark to me. I wouldn't have done there. I would have tried to chip in half that 16, 17 yards that you needed for the first down rather than hope you can get that through the ground on a play that hasn't worked.
And the tosses, they had it set up. It got to the running back fairly close to the quarterback. The Tigers have been getting into the backfield so effectively this little while. There you have people waiting there for you, whereas you maybe rather see them get it out in the wings if you don't, as you say, go downfield. You got to do something. Well, it's going to be two wide receivers, one on each side for the Bob Whites. They've got one man set back. And it's Connor going back. He's looking downfield. He has a man open in the middle, and he connects with him right down the seam. It's going to be a dump on the Tigers, 44. Nice catch there by Connor Callaway, his first catch of the game.
That's a great play. The one problem I like on RC on that one was the linebackers don't drop back enough. You know that this is fourth down, so if they don't get it to the 46-yard line of middle right there, you're not getting the first down. You got to drop back a lot quicker. Everyone should basically be sitting on that first down marker and going from there.
And he just aired it out again. Maybe a man on the far sideline. Oh, knocked down over there. Looked like Hodgell was able to knock it away from the receiver, and who, of course, was Jared Clark. And so that one does not fall for the Bob Whites.
That's a good play from Jack Hodger. Goes for the ball. He's probably, in all likelihood, for the interception. But what he does is he creates some disturbance so that Clark can't just go up on his own for that ball. And that's a heads-up play, not letting the receiver behind him. Maybe if you're Mark Connor, maybe wait in a half second, letting Clark, who's might be the fastest kid on the field when he's out there, get downfield a little bit further and try to toss one up and let him run underneath it.
Second and 10 with 2:22 left to go in the game. The Bob Whites are going to need two scores to get on top of this thing, so they better move quickly. It's Connor getting the snap. He's throwing it long again, a little high for his receiver as he was getting pressured in the backfield again. Bruce Wright getting in there. Intended for Clark, nothing doing there.
And the offensive line, not much of a stop there as the Tiger defensive line was able to get through and get pressure. And one thing we've seen is when Mark Connor has a hand in his face, his effectiveness has dropped quite a bit. And that's due in large part to the pressure that has been provided from this defensive front led by Bruce Wright. They're making sure that Connor can't set his feet, something Oakley Gordon has been able to do for the Tigers on the other side of the ball.
Tigers have two safeties way back. They're spread right out. And as he keeps it down, Connor pulls it down, gets dropped in the backfield by Parker Gross. Nice job there by Parker. It's going to be a fourth and long.
The big play there was Brady the Rock. He knew there was a screen coming out, and he saw out of the backfield Xavier Pigeon going around on the swing route, and that's immediately where Mark Connor looked. And Brady Rock does a great job, follows the running back out of the backfield, knowing that's where the ball's going off the ball. Connor's got no one else to go to, and then in comes Parker Gross for the sack.
Connor has four wide receivers. He's dropping back. He's going to use one of them. He can't make up his mind, so he just kind of chucks it downfield. Andrew Gleason almost able to bring that down. Maybe decided not to, probably, actually, at the 28.
And that'll just about do it. BFA's got one timeout left, so barring a turnover right here from the Tigers, this should just about do it for this football game. And all the Tigers got to do right now is just sit on the ball and run this clock out. You got your big hefty guy up top, or in the middle. You've got Corlin Fisher, who has been playing absolutely fantastic football, especially in the second half when you needed him to, evading arm tackles. Now you've got this opportunity to reward him with some finishing touches to finish this game off. But great play right there by the Tiger defense, getting a sack and making it a tough fourth down.
Corlin sitting on 87 yards so far, and maybe actually this is going to go out to Fisher again. You just can't stop the guy. Big old hole. Give a lot of credit to the offensive line. But boy, he's just rumbling down to the 25. That's a 25-yard gain for Corlin Fisher. Well over 100 yards for the night.
And if Corlin Fisher, what he's doing right now, he's putting the rest of the state on alert. When he's on, you got to bring every single man into the box. And what's that going to do for the Tigers? It's going to create an edge. Now, if you have to sit 7-8 guys in the box saying, hey, we got to stop 33 up the gut, that's going to allow, you know, Trey Kaufman, Jerry Nemo, Ali Abdul-Shader, a lot less guys on the edge to work counters and toss sweeps. And that all starts with Corlin Fisher up the gut.
And so it's scored again. Why not? Give it to, actually, it was Kaufman this time, I think, who ran it up the middle there. I don't think that was Fisher. We'll see when he pops up. Yep, it was Kaufman. To put that in perspective, we heard about so many of the running backs last season, and certainly with every reason how great those fast guys were. Corlin Fisher still had over 500 yards. He was splitting carries with other fullbacks. He was splitting them with Spencer Carpenter at 100 yards. He was splitting them with any number of people. Justin Stone, who had 200. Cortland, man, making it work. Tigers are coming back for the victory set here. Middlebury takes the knee. Time's ticking down. 25 seconds left to go in this game. Tigers 20, Bob White 7.
And, you know, you talk about that speed to the outside, but I'll guarantee you that it doesn't matter how fast you run. Heck, you could run a 4 flat 40, 4.0. You're still not going to beat guys if it's going to be five guys sitting for you on the edge. Corlin Fisher goes inside and makes you think they could go inside, they could go outside. And when you have that capability to do both, you're a lot more dangerous as an offensive football team.
And that is it. This is the end of the game. Please stick around for the postgame show. The J.P. Carrera player of the game. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Look under your feet. That's concrete. And whether it's at home, on the farm, or in the workplace, concrete makes up foundations, sidewalks, barnyards. There are lots of uses for concrete in Addison County, but there's only one place to get it. J.P. Carrera & Sons. Their state-of-the-art plant, modern fleet of red, white, and blue trucks, and experienced drivers ensure the quality and efficient delivery of your concrete, crushed gravel, wash sand, and stone. Route 116 Middlebury, 388-6361. J.P. Carrera, the name in concrete.
Desiree Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat is located at 1232 Exchange Street, Middlebury. Our dry cleaning department is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 3 on Saturday for all your dry cleaning needs. We offer wash, dry, fold, shirt service, bulk rate dry cleaning, wedding gowns, rugs, Uggs, bedding, and alterations. The laundromat's open 7 days a week, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. For our customers, there's free Wi-Fi available as well as a TV room. We have single load washers, up to 60-pound washers, and 30-pound to 75-pound dryers. Use our drop-off locations at Linda's Apparel in Vergence and the Enchanted Closet in Bristol. Desabray on Exchange Street in Middlebury.
Della Motorsports celebrates victory motorcycles with high performance, exhilarating experiences every week in the month of September. Visit Della Motorsports to learn more and get up to a $1,400 rebate on off-road vehicles. Up to $2,000 rebate on Victory and a 5-year factory warranty on all remaining in-stock 2015 models with rates as low as 2.99%.
Certain restrictions and exclusions apply. See dealer for details. Always wear a helmet, never ride under the influence.
Della Motorsports, 7 Della Drive, Plattsburgh. DellaMotorsports.net.
How many times have you really felt good about the financial institution you deal with? The people who use all the varied services of One Credit Union on Green Street in Vergennes do. It might be because One Credit Union is known for their unmatched personal service. This service is provided by people you like to work with, not by people you have to work with. Low-fee banking services provided by people you like. It all adds up to One Credit Union. If your bank doesn't add up to that, it's time for a change. One Credit Union, Green Street, Vergennes. One Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA.
High school football is on 92.1 WVTK.
Welcome back to Doc Collins Field here in Middlebury, Vermont. Tigers defeat the BFA Bob Weiss by a score of 20-7. All those points, all those scores came in the first half. We'll get you going early on with our scoring recap. Opening drive of the football game for the Middlebury Tigers. Trey Kaufman, the star of that one. Three carries for 36 yards, all on counter plays, capped it off with a 5-yard touchdown. Tigers are up 7-0. Started the second half just a minute into it. Oakley Gordon puts the Tigers up 14-0, taking a 49-yard return to the house. A beautiful fake return set up beautifully by the return team. The extra point was good. It was 14-0. We go now late to the first half. 4:57 left in the second quarter. Cortland Fisher powers in for a 5-yard touchdown run set up by Jerry Nemo. Two carries, 20 yards on the drive. Tigers are up 20-0. But Jared Clark gets BFA on the board the very next play. That'd be a kickoff return of 85 yards to the house. Cuts the lead to 27. But then in the second half, no offense from either team as it got down to the clutch. The Tigers are able to withstand two long and potentially dangerous BFA drives, who got inside the 20 both times, but coming up with an interception on one of them and forcing a fourth down and out. And they did a great job. But the key to this game was the Tiger offense. They did a great job in the second half. Now, they didn't score a lot, but the key was that they were able to make drives. They were able to continually kill the clock and make long runs, and in large part to this week's player of the game, JP Carrera, player of the game, Corlin Fisher. Fisher goes off. What he did there in the last drive, Tigers are up 20-7. He's able to get a long run, 20-something yards, and that essentially seals the game with less than 2 minutes to play. But on multiple occasions, Corlin Fisher was able to create some diversity for the Tigers' offense. They were able to both run it inside and outside, and that's something that if you're capable of doing, you're able to go inside and outside. It creates a situation for the defense where you can't just pick one side or the other. You can't sit in the inside and say, hey, you want to route that up, we're ready for you. Or if you want to say, hey, you want to turn the outside, we're going to spread out, we're ready for you. When you have that multiple options, you're able to go inside, you're able to go outside, and that's able to create some diversity, able to create some success. And now send it back to Bjarke with this week's player of the game.
And for our JP Carrera player of the game, it's none other, and maybe no surprise for those of us listening to the broadcast from all the way through, Cortland Fisher is our player of the game. And first of all, congratulations, Cortland.
Thank you.
Welcome up, and what a game. You know, last week, Marshall and I both remarked, for somebody who got as much time last year and was effective as you were last week, you had over 7 yards per rush. You didn't get fed the ball a lot. I think there was a lot of different factors in that, including Ali going a little crazy out there. Mm-hmm. But this week they called your number. Thought that would happen, or just kind of natural progression of the game?
Well, every team has a different way of playing defending against our offense. And we looked at some tapes, and coach realized that the fullback was going to get the ball a lot, and that happened to be me at this week. So I sort of knew it going into the game, knew I was going to get a lot of carries, but I had to see what I was going to do with them.
And when it started out, originally as the game kind of went on, you were getting them in trips and drabs. There were times they stoned you at the line, and there were times where you got it going. But then you really got ahead of steam. And once you got ahead of steam, it just seemed like it was all downhill from there.
Well, it's all about those adjustments we make at halftime. I mean, they knew what they were doing against our offense, like I said. And then we figured out a different blocking scheme, and were able to get it really rolling downhill.
And so 112 yards for you, I have, which is a pretty great number. And certainly, and it's not, we know for the Tigers, it's not about yards, but for you, I mean, you're getting used that much. I haven't tallied up the attempts, but you had a lot of rushes tonight. Parker Gross goes in there and gives you a nice spell. He does a nice job. You're almost a little, I know you're a competitor, but is there also a moment where you're like, okay, I can take a breather for a second? How's that work in your mind when that happens?
Well, it's always nice to get a little breather, but I mean, I always want to go back in right away. Parker's a good fullback. He runs well. He's strong guy, but it's always good to get a breather, get some water in you.
So you're a competitor, right? You want to get back out there on the field, and you had amazing teammates last year and people we've heard a lot about, and you got some credit along the way, but naturally seniors are going to come get that. Is there a part of you that gets, how's it been going into the season for you as somebody to maybe carry a little more of the load?
Well, again, we have a talented backfield. Again, we lost some seniors last year that were just phenomenal, and we're kind of spreading it around. We have some veterans. We lost, I don't even know how many starters last year, but we have some guys who got playing time last year, some strong backs. I mean, being one of those returning starters, it's like just kind of got to lead the team and let the blocks run, I guess.
So as a leader on the team, you know, last week you won. There were probably a couple things where you felt like, okay, we could really work on this against a team that hasn't been that strong. You probably looked at this team, only lost to Rice by one. Is this game important for you guys to come out and do what you did?
I didn't mean to call myself a leader. That's, yeah, I don't think I am. But, again, every game matters. Like, we take it week by week, kind of one guy at a time, on to Cincinnati, as Belichick would say. But, yeah, we kind of take it week by week, and, you know, papers will say what they say. I hate looking at that. That's
sure,
terrible.
Of course.
So much pressure. But I'd have to say that, like, you know, again, every game's important. We're comparing to other teams. Every team's different. They all run their own dynamic offense and defense. But, yeah, I'd say this game's as important as anyone.
Great. Well, I just to say, you know, and leaders lead a lot of different ways, and the humbleness of the step back there means a lot, I'm sure. But I tell you, when you get that many carries in a game, as somebody here can attest to as a halfback for a long time with the Tigers, you're a leader one way or the other, no matter what type that is. So, great game. Thanks very much for joining us. And just so you know, you can only win it once in the season, so this is your time up here.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of linemen and things that we're going to want to bring up. But a fantastic game, and congratulations. Nice game.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Playing it back over to Marshall here. We're going to step aside for 1 minute. It's Middlebury Tiger football on the One Credit Union Radio Network.
Addison County Commission Sales is a locally owned and operated livestock auction service. The Wisnowski family has been serving Addison County farmers and surrounding area for over 65 years. Livestock sales are held every Monday and Thursday starting at 3 p.m. Livestock trucking, free herd appraisals, and dairy replacement are also available upon request. Addison County Commission Sales. Visit them on Route 125 in East Middlebury. For more details, go to accscattle.com.
The Army Reserve has more than 120 career opportunities, so you can add to your current strengths or build brand new ones. Join the Army Reserve and you will make a difference in your life and the lives of others. Learn more at goarmy.com/reserve.
For more information, call your local recruiter at 802-775-2518 or visit goarmy.com/CE16.
They're strong, and then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Celebrating 60 years in business, LaBerge equals insurance. LaBerge Insurance Agency has been helping you find the right insurance. Don't pay too much for the wrong coverage. LaBerge Insurance will get it right. Homeowners, renters, condo, auto, life, commercial, or farm insurance, call LaBerge at 388-2772. LaBerge Insurance Agency, locally owned and conveniently located at 1 Washington Street, Middlebury. A proud sponsor of Tiger football.
This is Tiger football on Addison County's WVTK, Port Henry, Bridport, Middlebury, 92.1 WVTK. This is Tiger football on 92.1 WVTK.
And we're winding up the game here. It's overtime. It's the post-game show here on 92.1 WVTK. We just talked to J.P. Carrera, player of the game, Cortland Fisher, who had ended the game with 112 yards, hard-earned for the Tigers. So, Marshall, Tigers come out of here 2-0, come out of here 24-0 in their last 24 games, continue rolling along. BFA comes out of here probably a tough 0-2, looking forward to a schedule that has some easier things, but also some definitely hard things down the pike. Tigers go on to face the Colonels of Brattleboro next week. What are you going to be looking for as we start that game?
Well, I think that the key for this coaching staff and this team is to not think about 3-0. It's not to think about 25-0. It's to think about going 1-0 on Friday night. And I think they've got a capability of doing that. They came out and they showed a lot more diversity in the running game this week, which is something that I thought week one they could have worked on. They got Cortland Fisher going a lot more. They did, you know, week to week, this offense is going to rely on one guy more than the other. But the key to this week was they didn't kind of fall into that completely. And at the same time, they did a great job of making sure that even if one guy was taking the load, that every other guy, it wasn't that he was getting his opportunities, but that he was getting a touch and getting a competitive touch. So I think next week, I'd like to see more of that. I think this defense remains at it, you know, at midseason form. They're playing fantastic. It's a much physically stronger defense as far as, you know, just bodies go, compared to last year's team, who's more of a speed defense. I think that's, you'll see that continue, but I'd like to see continue that progression on offense to make sure everyone's getting involved and everyone's having success with the ball.
and really did a great job. The defense almost as though no midseason form, just getting a little more explosive plays here, getting the backfield more. We saw just in that fourth quarter alone, Sawyer Ryan with an interception, Oakley Gordon with an interception, Bruce Wright with two sacks. We had a sack by Parker Gross. We had a lot of people getting involved and some explosive plays, not just stuff in the line of scrimmage and just everybody working so hard. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you name a player of the game, we could have a bunch of guys standing up here and whole units standing up here, and sometimes it's hard not to say that.
The big thing that was different from this week to last week was the return of Chris Greer, who missed a lot of that second half last week against Mount Anthony. When he came back in, especially early in this game, the counter and throughout the game worked especially well for Middlebury. Chris Greer coming back, it gives you a little bit of speed. It gives you veteran leaders as you got two of your captains on one side of the football on the offensive line. When he's out there, that offensive line works a lot better. It's a lot smoother. Bruce Wright and him connect very well, communicate very well. So those two together are able to kind of work together. You run that counter, you run that power drive behind them, you run the option behind them. Much smoother communication. I think you saw that. We saw a lot of counters coming back to the left side of the field. I would expect to see that continue to run, because those two, when they run the counter, they're both of them very strong but also very quick. And that's something that the Tigers really will try to take advantage of as the season goes on.
And they'll be able to. No one went down. Everyone's looking in good shape, and everyone's looking to continue on towards week three. And we're looking to continue on towards week three, and we hope everyone will join us next weekend as we travel down Interstate 91 and head down to Brattleboro and watch the Tigers. Please join us at 6:30 on the pregame show on 92.1 WVTK. We'll bring you all the action. For Marshall Hastings, for Jim Ty back in the studio, I'm Bjarke Sears. We'll see you next week, everyone. This was the Middlebury Tigers defeating the St. Albans Bobwhites by a score of 20-7. It was Middlebury Tigers football on the One Credit Union Radio Network. Have a great night.
You've been listening to MUHS Tiger Football on 92.1 WVTK. Tiger Football all season long on WVTK is brought to you in part by
your locally owned credit union, One Credit Union, Green Street in Virgins. McIntyre Services of Middlebury, making friends warm for 70 years. Addison County Commission Sales, Addison County's premier destination for Vermont livestock. Martin's Hardware of Bristol and Middlebury, your True Value hardware store. Bordon Insurance of Middlebury, home of the co-op chicks for all your insurance needs. Eustace Farm Supply and Hardware, proudly started and run by the Eustace family of Brit Porch. Monument Farms of Weybridge, join the movement and support local farms. The A. Johnson Lumber Company of Bristol, sustainable timber harvesting and SFI certified. Vermont Field Sports, for all your hunting needs and a great selection of new and used guns, Route 7 in Middlebury. Mike's Auto and Towing, for all your car care needs and a whole lot more. Mike'sAutoMid.com. That's Mike's Auto, M-I-D-D.com. The National Bank of Middlebury, offering accounts for every stage of life to meet your financial needs in Middlebury, Brandon, Bristol, Hinesburg, and Virgins. LaBerge Insurance, LaBerge equals insurance, Washington Street in Middlebury. Poulin Auto, changing the way you feel about buying a car in South Burlington and Barrie. Woodware Fine Furniture, Route 7 South in Middlebury. Desibray's Dry Cleaning and Full Service Laundromat, 1232 Exchange Street in Middlebury, with a drop-off location at Linda's Apparel in Virgins. Foster Motors, home of the We Care People on Route 7 in Middlebury. Fourth and Goal, everything for the rink, court, pool, field, and diamond, 68 Main Street in Middlebury. Mike's Fuels, for all your home, business, and agricultural needs, Route 22A in Bridport. Della Motorsports in Plattsburgh, making your buying experience a pleasant one. And J.P. Carrera and Sons Concrete, always ready to mix, and they guarantee a solid finish. Call them at 388-6363.
For a complete schedule of sports heard on 92.1 WVTK and more information, visit 921WVTK.com. Thanks for listening. This has been a local sports production on Addison County's 92.1 WVTK.